B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, cuz?
Well, good Tuesday morning, Philadelphia. No Anthony Gargano today. He's out the next 2 days. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in the Chunas, sitting in his chair. Connor Thomas, sliding in from working the phones with the mornings and doing everything behind the scenes to sitting in my chair today. So Connor Thomas will be along for the ride. And I'll just start right away with something that I was going back and forth with Connor this morning. I was up early today. I don't know what it was. I got up at like 6:30 and I was just like, all right, well, might as well start thinking about the show. And I start texting Connor and, you know, I'm thinking about all these topics. And one of the things that I came up with was, how did we get to where we are now with the Philadelphia Eagles? Now, I'm sure 18 different shows have sort of asked that same question, and you try to find out what the exact reason is. I know all these former teammates of Carson Wentz that I've reached out to, I've asked the same question in the text. What happened? Whether they want to respond via text or whether they want to come on like Torrey Smith did last week with Anthony. And that's been like the biggest question. What happened with Carson Wentz? But it also is what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's a bunch of different answers to that question. And I'm sure there's some that you believe wholeheartedly, like I do when it comes to Howie Roseman. But I'm sure there's some people that believe it's just Carson Wentz. He was so bad that they couldn't win anything. And that's why we are in the position that we are now. Carson Wentz is a baby. He couldn't handle Philadelphia, the media, the fans, the pressure. So now he's getting traded to Indianapolis. There could be a ton of answers as to why we are where we are now with the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's question number one that I have for you. But then it started making me think a little bit. And we got into the Howie Roseman conversation we were texting this morning. And it always seems like all signs point back to Howard, right? It's always Howard the Weasel Roseman's fault because he can't draft. He did not put good personnel alongside around Carson Wentz. He totally screwed up contracts and keeping older guys around, thank you contracts post Super Bowl. There are all kinds of issues with Howie Roseman. And unfortunately, he is still the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles because he's attached to the hip of Jeffrey Lurie. And it made me think, and I kind of need your help today because I don't want to get soft here because I've been bashing Howie this whole time. And don't get me wrong, I'm not about to say I'm sorry for what I've said about Howie. No. I believe everything that I say. But then it makes me think about the Super Bowl. And I'm sitting here today. I'm wearing my Eagles hat because my hair is getting really long. And that's a conversation for later on the show because I lost the war, Connor. I lost the war. I'll get into that. But I'm rocking the Eagles hat. I was wearing some sort of Eagles t-shirt to bed last night. And I'm just sitting there thinking, man, I've just been bashing the guy constantly. You know, I do the show 6 days a week. I'm with Anthony for five. I'm with Jamie on the weekends. And it seems like we talk about Howie every single time. You can go into a show not trying to talk about Howie and somebody will bring up Roseman because it's easy to. Because, again, all signs point back to the general manager for the reason why the Eagles are where they're at now. For screwing up the Carson Wentz situation royally. And I get angry when I see people on social media saying, oh no, Howie did a good job trading Carson Wentz. He didn't want to be here. He was able to get a third round pick and a potential one. Yeah, that's true. But why didn't he want to be here? I don't think it's because Carson Wentz didn't like the fan base. It's because all the reports state he had no trust left in the front office. And that's not good. That means I'm sure there's a lot of players that feel that way. I brought this up a few times. Orlando Scandrick last year on one of the crap hot take shows. I think it was the one with Skip Bayless. He was ripping Howie Roseman. And at first, we all took it as, all right, this guy just got cut. He's just angry. He wants to rip the last team he was on. He wants to rip the GM, blah, 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 blah. But he said a lot of things about Howie Roseman, about how he's not alone when it comes to not trusting the GM. I think now a lot of people are starting to realize that maybe Orlando Scandrick wasn't just an angry player who was just cut. Maybe he was starting to tell the truth that, you know, when you're on the team, you're not going to speak out about the GM. You're not going to do that. You'd be crazy to do that. So I think we're starting to find out more and more. And maybe once players retire and down the road, guys like Zach Ertz, who apparently had that altercation with Howie Roseman during the offseason, Maybe other guys like Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, maybe one day down the road they have stuff to say about the GM. But it made me think, and I need your help, because I think I'm going to put myself on the couch today, and I need to talk to you at 610-632-0975. Am I, or are we as a collective fan base, starting to not appreciate what Howie Roseman did a few years ago? Because yesterday with Anthony, when we were talking about Howie, I started going down this whole tangent about how it wasn't even his players that won the Super Bowl. Yes, the signings of Patrick Robinson and Chris Long, the trade for Jay Ajayi was a big part of it. The trade for Torrey Smith that offseason was a big part of it. Bringing back Nick Foles was a big part of it. Obviously, Howie Roseman made a lot of good moves for the Super Bowl. But I also can't help but think, okay, there were a lot of Chip Kelly draft picks that were still a part of the team, some Andy Reid draft picks that were still a part of the team, and now I'm starting to hate the man so much that I'm finding myself taking away credit from what Roseman did back in 2017. And then I start thinking, damn, am I ungrateful for what happened just 3 years ago? What was it? 19 days ago was the 3-year anniversary of the Eagles Super Bowl. Now, I will say we are a good fan base because we are quick to start getting angry again. We are a what have you done for me lately kind of fan base, which I think is the best kind. It is. Because if you're sitting there 3 years later saying, oh, well, I already got my Super Bowl. I'm okay. I don't care what the Eagles do. I saw them hoist the Lombardi trophy down Broad Street. I'm all right. Whatever happens, happens. No, to me, that is a bad fan. Last week, a caller called into the show on Friday, I believe it was, and he said, I'm an Eagles fan. I think the Eagles are going to go 10-6 next year. I don't care if you're an Eagles fan, a Cowboys fan. You don't watch football. You're delusional if you think the Eagles are going to go 10-6 next year. And don't tell me you think they're going to go 10-6 because you're a bigger fan than I am. No, to me, I then think you're a green goggle blind fan who just says go Birds no matter what. And if things are going poorly, you're the dog in the meme saying this is fine when there's fires around you. You can't be telling me that they're going to go 10-6 just because you're an Eagles fan. I can tell you they're going to go 4-12 because as an Eagles fan, I hate the direction of what this team is going through right now. I hate what the front office is doing. I hate that Carson Wentz is in Indianapolis and how he's going to win a Super Bowl in 3 years because I'm starting to believe that. I'm really starting to believe that Carson Wentz wins the Lombardi Trophy in about 3 years, in the next 3 years with the Indianapolis Colts, because I do think there's talent still there and I do think a good coach will unlock it and I do think a competent organization will help him get better. And I don't think that organization is here in Philadelphia. But I'm not some, ex-boyfriend here saying, oh my God, I'm going to be paying attention to Carson constantly. No, I'm not going to be doing that. But all I do know is I think he's set down the road to win something. Whereas here in the next 3 years, we'll be happy to see a 500 season. So Connor, 610-632-0975, all of you today will sort of be my Eagles therapist because I am so angry with the direction of this team. I'm so angry with Howie Roseman. He has screwed things up left and right. But it is getting to the point, Connor, that I am starting to say, oh, it wasn't even his picks that won the Super Bowl. Am I myself starting to lose the appreciation? And you tell me, you're the therapist as well as the callers at 610-632-0975. Am I myself starting to lose the appreciation for what Howie Roseman did just 3 years ago?
Yeah, you absolutely are. I mean, we've all seen what he's done since the Super Bowl. And even if you're the most positive fan, you can point to something he's done wrong. If you're the most realistic fan, you can point to 100 things he's done wrong since February 4th of 2018.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But trying to take away what he did to put that roster together. I mean, think about the pieces on that team. Like Chip Kelly's team. Roseman traded up to draft Wentz.
Yes,
he signed Foles as a free agent.
Hey, found a way
there's
to screw
both the
that
quarterbacks
up.
Right there.
He screwed up the Wentz thing, but you go ahead.
I mean, he did after the Super Bowl. But
he screwed it up.
I mean,
time.
He brought him here.
He should have been here.
The
for
dude
15
played
years,
in
but go ahead.
Okay, but he played an MVP level leading up to that Super Bowl. He signed the backup quarterback who ended up being the superhero, the superhuman that brought you that Super Bowl, that outdueled Brady in his best effort ever. He brought in Alshon Jeffrey. He drafted some, well, he brought in Patrick Robinson, who made one of the biggest plays in the Eagles' history in the NFC Championship game.
Loudest that stadium ever was.
Brought in Torrey Smith, who caught the flea flicker. Brought in LeGarrette Blount, who tossed that. Corey Clement, who had a huge game in the Super Bowl and was great down the stretch. I mean, the free agents were a huge part of that run, and a lot of other guys who bolstered that roster were guys that were added to the team in the year previously. He was part of bringing in Doug as the head coach and filling out that staff, because you better believe he had a hand on who was brought in to fill out that staff. He had a huge part in the Super
okay.
Bowl.
Okay.
But everything he's done since.
Well, so now I'm starting to get you in this trap that I want to get a lot of people in the trap for, too. And again, I'm trying to figure out if he can do it. Do you have any faith that he can do it again?
No.
I'm not saying a one-year flash where he, I'm not saying next year, but do you have any faith in this guy that he can sort of fix this roster again like he did post-Chip? He did fix the roster by having a good draft in 2016, the only good draft that he's had in his five-year career as the GM of the Eagles. And then he did put together the final pieces in 17. They were a contender in 2018. We had two good years of football. Well, I would say elite because he won a Super Bowl. Is there any way he can do it again?
No, because what happened is he hit the lottery.
Okay.
He hit the lottery. And if you go and you buy a scratch-off and you end up hitting the multi-million dollar, like hundreds of millions of dollars lottery, that doesn't mean that you're going to be any more likely to buy another scratch-off and win it. But it also doesn't mean that anyone can come to you and say, because you can't win the lottery again, we're going to take all your winnings. You can't take the Super Bowl away from him. But I still don't think he's going to hit the lottery again. He'd have to do so many things right. He can't seem to do one thing right.
Yeah, he can't. And that's why, again, I'm not trying to get soft on this, because I've been trying to champion the Howie Roseman firing since week one of this season. Really, going into this year, I was ready to move on from him. Like, I thought that this season was the first year the seat would be warm. Well, it should be flaming hot, but unfortunately the owner loves him too much, and the owner loves being Jerry Jones for the Philadelphia Eagles and calling shots as the owner of the team, and that's a problem. But I just feel like I don't know what it was. Like, I woke up this morning, and we do the morning thoughts every day at 11:10, so here's one of my morning thoughts already, that I've just been constantly bashing the guy that... Not that I feel bad about it, and not that I want to take anything back, but I just feel like doing it every day, 6 days a week, 10 to 2 Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 on Saturdays, you do it so much that you start going, well, is it really all that bad? Is he really that bad of a general manager? And maybe I need you and the people today to remind me that he is that bad, because I know it. I opened the show saying all the things he did wrong, but I'm starting to feel like, man, I've been so hard on the guy that I feel like I'm not appreciating 3 years ago. It was just 3 years ago they won. It was just 3 years ago.
It can be both, though. There can be a medium that we're going to try and get you to. And I hope a lot of callers call in that try and get you to find that middle ground where it's not bash him for everything he's done ever as an Eagles front office member, but following the Super Bowl. Like, you got to give him credit. You can't take that away. But you still have to be able to bash him for what he's done. You've got to find that middle ground. And I think your issue is we're still in the midst of it. I think it's going to be a lot easier to look back once the team eventually moves on from Howie Roseman in 2056 and take an active look at his legacy. But right now, you're in the midst of the anger stage of watching your favorite team collapse, and it's hard to have a level
head.
But
that's the thing. So has there ever been a fallout for a GM or a coach this quickly after winning something in any sport? In any sport. Now, I get it. Good fans, as I said, good fans are quick to get angry and quick to be, you know, not hypocritical, judgmental about things. Like, Charlie Manuel, you win the World Series in 2008. People then complain about the double switch thing. He knows how to do a double switch. The guy was in baseball for 100 years before 2009, okay? But people crushed him for the double switch thing and said, this guy will never win again. And that was just 1 year after winning a World Series. But I think looking back at it, everybody does love the manager that was Charlie Manuel. But I don't know 10 years from now, if the Super Bowl was the only thing that the Eagles won under Howie Roseman, will people look back at Howie Roseman and say, oh, that guy was great? Like, I don't think that's the case.
I don't think they'll look back at him and say it was great. But I do think the long term, the Super Bowl will outweigh the 3-year collapse.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't. Because we're going crazy. I've heard from people throughout the week, last week, and now it's only Tuesday now, people saying they're not going to watch this season. Because they go, all right, well, if they're 0-3, I'm done. Because I know they're not going to get better. Like, people are ready to turn off the Eagles.
I know, and you guys had a show. You guys had a show a week or so ago about the Howie Clause and guys trying to find a way out of the fandom of the Eagles. I get it.
Which I hated. I'm anti Howie Clause. I'm anti finding a new team to like until the Eagles are good again. That's being called a front runner.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. But I think this is a short term thing where we've had bad eras of Eagles football before. We've had bad stretches. Now, our age group, we've been lucky. We've seen really good teams, pretty consistently good football. But there have been terrible stretches of Eagles football. There's never been a Super Bowl before. I think when you look back at this, when we get a decade down the line, people are going to say, okay, water under the bridge. He collapsed, but ultimately he did get the first Super Bowl.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, you just said something, and we're going to start turning the page to another topic that I have. You just said our age group has been very lucky when it comes to the Eagles. We've really only seen a handful of bad seasons. You and I are both, you're 27 yet, or are you still 26?
26.
You're 26. Okay, so you and I, sort of the same path of, all right, we were too young to really see that 93-98. Donovan McNabb in that Eagles era was our really coming out party in terms of loving sports and loving the Eagles. And then post-Andy Reid, not that it was great, but it wasn't all that bad with Chip Kelly because you had two 10-6 seasons. The first one, you make the playoffs. The second one, you just miss. Year three just collapsed, right? So year three, awful. Year one of Doug and Carson, you expected growing pains because it's a rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, and then they win the Super Bowl in year two. It's really not been bad for you and I. It's not been bad for people probably around the age of 30 and below. Obviously, it's been great for us. So this is something that I need all age groups to help me figure out. Earlier today, Shaquille O'Neal was on with the John Kincaid Show, and Shaq is obviously always fantastic. When he's on with John and Bob and Jamie and Pat, he's fantastic. He's obviously always great on TNT. He's great on all the commercials. He's great in all the movies. I love Shaq. And we will be replaying the entire Shaquille O'Neal interview today at 11:40. But very early on, right from the get-go, they got into the Joel Embiid conversation. And Shaq and Charles Barkley during the TNT stuff have always been very hard on Embiid, but it seems like they do it out of an appreciation like, yo, you could be the best player in the NBA. And so I go, all right, I like that Shaq has always been like that. Now, I'll admit, I don't think Shaq and Charles watch all 82 Sixers games or all 65 that Embiid plays in, right? They watch the games that they are covering that night. And if Embiid is having a bad night because it looks like he's taking too many threes, they think that's what he does every single game. And it's not just a Shaq, Charles Barkley thing. That's any national color analyst, any national play-by-play guy. They watch that specific game and they basically figure out in 5 minutes that's who it is. Remember during the NFL season. Who was the guy? Oh, my God.
What, the Doug Peterson runs the ball? Jonathan Vilma.
Jonathan Vilma. Thank you. Jonathan Vilma clearly did not watch a second of Eagles football in the last 3 years. And he was able to say within five plays, because the Eagles ran the ball four times and threw the ball one time, Jonathan Vilma said, and I quote, oh, Doug Peterson, you know he's a run-first coach. You know, you can count on that. And I go, what?
That's not true.
What are you talking about? Have you watched a second of another Eagles game this season? Well, they don't, because they just prepare and cover the game that they are about to talk about. So Shaq is clearly paying more attention to Joel Embiid, because it's not like the Sixers have been on every single TNT broadcast this year. And he had a lot of incredible things, and I'll play some during the update coming up, and we'll obviously replay at 11:40. But I have a question that Jamie and I touched on during our Saturday show this past weekend. And I, again, need every generation to check in here. Not just the Connor Thomases and me of the world, 26, 27, the 30-year-olds, the 35. I need 40-plus. I need 50-plus. I've seen Allen Iverson. I was too young to appreciate Charles Barkley. I've seen Allen Iverson, and that's it. Iguodala, I know people like to say he could be a potential Hall of Fame player, but when you think of Iguodala, you don't think of HOF, right? Joel Embiid very well could be the best player I've ever seen in Sixers. And really, it's between two guys. It's him and Allen Iverson. And I love Allen. He got me into basketball 2001. I love it, you name it. Joel Embiid does so much more. Now, the size, you know, it was crazy what Iverson could do at his size, but it's also crazy what the things that Embiid could do at his size. Joel Embiid might be the best Sixers player I've ever seen. I need to ask if Joel Embiid quite possibly, like, let's be real here. I know there's the Wilt Chamberlain guys that are still out there, and I would love to hear from you. And I know we changed the game and all that stuff. Well, they're not changing the game, okay? The game is the game. They're not raising the net up two more feet. They're not doing any of that stuff. Could Joel Embiid potentially be the greatest Sixer of all time? And I'll even ask this. Could he be one of the best Philadelphia athletes of all time? Like, I'm dead serious. You and I will run through it. On the other side, the athletes that you and I have seen in our young age of 27 and 26, Phillies, Flyers, Eagles, Sixers, Joel Embiid might not just be the best Sixer I've ever seen. He might be the best Philadelphia athlete I've ever seen. And I don't think that's hot takey to say. I want to discuss that. 610-632-0975. Again, we will replay the entire Shaquille O'Neal interview from earlier today on the John Kincaid Show at 1140. He had a lot of incredible things to say about Joel Embiid, so we need to discuss that. 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. So, Joel Embiid, greatest Sixer, but potentially greatest Philadelphia athlete of all time. I need to talk to you guys about that because I need to see if that is a possibility. Also, I need to sit on the chair, the Eagles chair. The Howie Roseman thing. Am I starting to lose appreciation for the Super Bowl? Like, am I being too tough on it because I do it every single day? I'm starting to go, man, I almost feel bad for all the negative things I'm saying. Am I crazy to think that? 610-632-0975. We got a whole lot more. Barrett Brooks joins the show at 1:10 to talk about the Carson Wentz fallout. We have a lot of other fun stuff. Morning Thoughts at 11:10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
10:30, 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz. Cuz will be back on Thursday. Had to take care of a few things, so he's off today and tomorrow, but we'll be back on Thursday. So I'm sitting in his seat tonight, today, this morning, this afternoon. Connor Thomas in mine. So Connor will be around for tomorrow as well. And you can climb in at 610-632-0975. We currently have two open lines. And the two topics of conversation, one, of course, you need the Eagles topic, and I need to put myself on the chair. And maybe others need to be put on the chair as well, or maybe people will just kick me off the chair and call me an idiot, and that's fine, because I need to find out if anyone else is feeling this way. Not that I feel bad for ripping Howie Roseman 6 days a week and then talking to myself on Sundays when I don't have a microphone in front of me, because that's pretty much what ends up happening. It's, you know, my dog is the only one that listens. Howie Roseman, I bash constantly. And rightfully so, right? I mean, the guy is screwed up left and right. He's had one good draft since taking over in 2016, and it was the 2016 draft. When he traded up for Carson Wentz, when he took guys like Vitae and Mills who have made an impact for your team. Obviously, Vitae playing left tackle in the Super Bowl after Jason Peters gets hurt in the season. So he had a good draft in 2016. Since then, not so much. And it's obviously too early to tell in 2020 how those guys turn out, right? I don't think Rager's a bust. We'll find out if Davion Taylor can be anything after not really playing football until college. Maybe Jalen Hurts is the answer. It was still a dumb pick, but he could be the answer. Who knows? But the constant bashing, I sort of start thinking, man, I'm doing it so much that is it coming off to you guys? Like, be honest with me. Is it coming off to you guys? And I know a lot of people, I'll say 90% agree with everything that I say when it comes to Howie Roseman, as you should. But when it comes to you guys, do I come off as a guy who is not like appreciative of what Howie Roseman did? And Connor Thomas, who's producing the show today, you're saying that it's kind of coming off that way.
Just a little bit. I mean, you can't take away the biggest moment in Eagles history when the guy had such a huge hand in it. It doesn't absolve him from the issues that have come up since.
Right.
But you're kind of, you know, you're kind of going a little bit off the rails with the Chip Kelly's team and stuff like that.
I mean, I would have to look at the roster and really break it down to see.
No, you don't. You know. Come on.
No, I know, but I like that. That's how far it got yesterday where I started going, man, it's not even, some of those players weren't even his. And then I have to remind myself, yeah, the biggest play, Patrick Robinson, pick six in the NFC Championship. You know, that was his signing and Torrey Smith and you name it. Left and right, there was a lot of Howie Roseman players that made an impact for the Super Bowl. But it's just been bad, so bad since that I can't help but find myself saying, man, was this, how much of an impact did he make? Because he's such a bad GM. And I have to ask you guys, am I going too far almost with my hatred for the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles? The other question I'm asking you guys today, and this is something we could have fun with, is the Joel Embiid conversation. I just want to love on Embiid right now. Because Shaquille O'Neal, who we will replay today at 11:40, joined the John Kincaid Show, and it was fantastic. And they talked about Embiid. I just played the cut during my update. He's saying that, you know, every big man can score 20 a game, but it takes a special big to be able to average 28-plus a night, 12 rebounds a night. And that's what Joel Embiid's doing. Like, Joel Embiid is playing like an MVP. And Joel Embiid is playing like, to me, the best Sixers player I've ever seen. And I grew up with Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson was my childhood. Now, I'm not saying, yes, Joel Embiid is better than Allen Iverson. No. Hold on. I just want to make myself clear. Because there's a guy that tweeted in, Ashir, on Twitter. The Allen Iverson disrespect is real. He'd have to get to the finals first, maybe win an MVP. This is about Embiid. Iverson took an average or below average team to the finals and played in most of his games, and Embiid is not even close yet. And you know what? I'm not disagreeing with you there. It's still very early in Embiid's career. Embiid hopefully has 5 more years of this elite style or 3 more years of this elite style of play. Will probably start, you know, falling apart a little bit, but is still probably playing 5, 6, 7 more years in Philadelphia. I mean, at an above average level, he should be an all-star every single year. So we'll have to see more. I can't say right now, but right now, he is getting close to the Iverson. Because when Ashir says it's not even close, I go, I can't say not even close. Because I'm just using my eyes. I'm not looking at numbers. I'm not looking at getting to the finals. Yes, that probably is a big part of it, getting to the NBA finals. But what I see Joel Embiid doing at a 7, you know, he's 7'2", listed as 7 foot or 6'11", being able to shoot from all over the place, turn around, he's got the Euro step, the pump fake, you name it, he's running up and the game he had 50 points. He grabbed a rebound, took it to the other end of the court. He's doing stuff that Iverson does, but it's 7'2", which you don't see other 7-footers do in the league. So is it crazy, Connor, for me to say that he could be the best Sixer of our lifetime? And is it crazy to say that he could be the best Philadelphia athlete of our lifetime?
No, I don't think you're crazy saying that. You've got to project a lot. And it's tough to, the toughest thing with Embiid, and it always has been, is the injury issues.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's hard to project out the next 5 years, and you kind of went into it there, of him playing consistently at this level because big men break down. But the career path that he's on, it's not far-fetched to say that. He's averaging about 30 this year. He's going to be in the MVP conversation. He's got a team in the one seed in the East, in a not very strong Eastern Conference, that wouldn't be hard to say that they've got a great shot to win the East this year, which would put them in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to project out. But the sample size we're working with here, no, you're not crazy at all. He's been transcendent this year, and not just on the stat sheet. The eye test has been incredible. The things he does, the Euro steps, the shooting touch, the free throw percentage from the line. When was the last time you saw a center that you could put on the line 10 times in the second half and he's going to make 9 of them every single night? Like, he's just, his clutch free throws are unbelievable.
Yeah.
The stuff he does is his size, and you already went into it. I'll belabor the point because he deserves belaboring because of how good he's been. No, so all that to say, you're not crazy. You can project that out. Just a lot of work still to be done to get there.
Right. Okay, now, and I'll get to the phones in a second. Mike and Delran, you'll be the first one. So we put out the tweet from the Anthony Gargano show, the Midday Account, and it'll probably be, instead of like a typical poll where we do the four options, it'll be like a write-in poll, and I'll go through a bunch of answers throughout the show. But Andy tweets in, seriously, I made sure to mention that I'm only 27 in the tweet. Okay, like it says right away, Anthony's out today, so the 27-year-old Andrew Salchunas is in. That first sentence, right? And I ask, could he be the best athlete you've ever seen in Philadelphia? And he responds with, seriously, Wilt, Doc, Moses, Hal Greer? I wasn't alive.
You didn't go see Hal Greer games? No,
I wasn't alive. So I want to hear from Andy again on social media. I don't know what Andy's age is. Andy's got one of the blank profile pictures, so he could be 90. He could be 15 for all. I don't know how old Andy is. So hopefully, I asked Andy to respond. Could Embiid rank close to those guys down the road? We'll find out. A lot of the bashing for Embiid in terms of not being able to be the best Sixer of all time, load management. Oh, back in those days, load management wasn't a thing. But okay, all right, you have a point. And now, 76ers-based God on Twitter, Philip Burner, 7671. Embiid is better than Wilt, and before he posts stats, he played against stiffs. I'm not touching that.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not touching that.
Come on, what are we doing there? You can't dismiss Wilt.
That. No, I'm not touching that. But I'm sure that will cause some sort of debate or angry debate on social media. Let's kick things off on the phones. Let's go to Mike and Delran. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Great.
Hey, first the Eagles real quick. Anyone who tells you that you're bashing Howie too much because he had one great season are probably the same knuckleheads that ran Carson Wentz out of town for one bad season. No, I'm not going to overlook all of the missed draft picks and the stupid financial situation that team is in now because he had one good season.
Yeah, now let me make it clear. Nobody has said anything to me. Nobody said, Andrew, you're being too hard on Howie. I woke up this morning, and you know we do the morning thoughts segment every day at 11:10. I woke up this morning and honestly was like, man, I've been doing the same thing 6 days a week since the season ended, and that's bashing Howie.
And you continue it.
Okay. All right.
Come, brother.
This is why I'm on the chair and you're the therapist today.
You know, the Joel Embiid thing's hard. Like, you say lifetime, maybe your lifetime. I'll be 40 in May. I don't even think he cracks the top 10 in my lifetime yet as far as athletes in this city. You can't dismiss Wilt and those guys. I get it. They're not your time. Dr. J, I was way too young for to really appreciate it. But when you just go Allen Iverson and Joel Embiid, he's not there yet. He's not.
But could he be? I'm asking the question, could he be one day? Because we're seeing stuff that there's guys that have never done this in the league at a 7 foot level, right?
Yeah, he's got to win a title. Or he's got to get there. Because you look at what you said. He might only have 3 or 4 more good years in him before he starts breaking down. Allen Iverson was getting beat down by what could have been arguably some of the toughest folks in the NBA during his time, and he didn't load manage. He came out. Let's put it this way. You wouldn't have been as geeked out over a 50-point effort by Allen Iverson as you are about Joel Embiid. Why? Because it happened way more often. Because that guy gave everything he had every second that he was an NBA player, and Joel Embiid's got to make up for a lot of where he didn't. So I don't know if he'll have a career long enough. You know, he goes and gets to the finals, and he wins an MVP. Maybe he's on the same level, but
to me, Mike, and I appreciate the call, brother. If he wins, is it not a lock? If he wins, because Iverson never won. I'm just going to say it out there. Iverson never won. Now Iverson took a team with Jumaine Jones and Matt Geiger and Dikembe Mutombo, who was grabbing like 20 rebounds a game during the playoffs. You know, Larry Hughes.
Yeah, and he
Aaron
faced some
McKee,
pretty good Lakers teams.
So, exactly. Whereas then Joel Embiid would be doing it with Ben Simmons and you know, Tobias Harris and Seth Curry, a far better team. So it'll be basically, Connor, the Jordan LeBron conversation where
we don't need that.
LeBron couldn't do it back in the day when they were hitting guys. LeBron would have ran circles around Bill Laimbeer. Let's just be honest, okay? Let's just be real here. Michael Jordan could do it in today's NBA, probably even better because there's no defense. Like, again, let's be honest. So that conversation never ends. This conversation would never end because if Embiid wins, it's, oh, well, he had a better team, whereas Iverson brought that crap team to the finals. And that will always be a debate.
It will be, but I think the stronger side of it will end up being the ring. I think more people will be sentimental about the ring because of how long it's been since they've won one. Like, even though Iverson was great, that ring is going to mean a lot because of the time frame in between the last time they won. Like, it's been 40 years.
Okay, okay. So, another tweet. This is from Michael Jenkinson. He goes, this is insane. Embiid is unlikely to be a top four Sixer of my lifetime. Now, his lifetime's a little older than mine. He says he'll likely never be better than Iverson, Barkley, Dr. J, or Moses. I don't know about the Moses. I mean, Moses was, again, I didn't get to see Moses, but the dude is Hall of Famer. I mean, incredible player. Is it crazy to say Embiid could be better than Dr. J? Is it crazy to say that?
That one's tough. You've got to project out a lot. Like, he's got to be MVP caliber for the next 3-4 years, and he's got to run into a ring or maybe two.
Right.
That's a lot to put on the guy's plate for a team that hasn't made it past the second round yet.
Okay. Okay. So I'm just looking at it in his career with the Sixers in the NBA. Right. He averaged 22 a game and 6 total rebounds a game. Now, I'm not just doing numbers. A lot of it's eye tests, which clearly I didn't have the eye test with Julius Erving. But, like, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here because I got a Julius Erving jersey in my house. Never seen a guy play a damn game in my life. But is it crazy to say that Embiid could reach that level?
He could absolutely. He could be in the conversation. Like, he could touch that top three. The three that he could be among, it could be him, Doc, and Wilt.
Yeah.
But those two.
But he said he's not even close to Iverson yet.
And that's up for debate because Iverson doesn't have a ring. He does have an MVP. But, like, Embiid's on that path. Those other two are kind of, they transcend superstar. Those are the icons of the franchise. Wilt is to the point where he's almost superhuman. And Doc was like the original cool of cool Sixer who made the 80s happen.
Yeah.
He was that guy.
Yeah.
So those guys almost, there are arguments for them being untouchable, but everybody else, Joel Embiid can be better than.
And let's also just be totally real here, because that's what Auntie and I try to do every day, 10 to 2, is we be real. You always have a special place in your heart, your childhood hero. That's why a lot of people will never go LeBron over Jordan, because Jordan was their childhood, right?
Yeah, because people want to hang on to that nostalgia.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying. Let's, like, if we're being real. So Ryan tweets in, we're the same age, so he wants to call me out on something. He's asking, you know, was B-Dog not a figure of my imagination as a kid? Now, I wrote B-Dog. I have a list here of the players that were the top tier for at least a period of time. Didn't have to be 10 years. Period of time. Tops of the list. And the Phillies had the majority of players, not just because that's my team, but they also won something, right? Whereas the Sixers, I've won. It's Iverson, right? It's Iverson or Embiid. So we'll go through this list later on during the show as well, because Ryan's right. I mean, B-Dawg is definitely up there. I'm trying to figure out, where does he rank in terms of the top Philadelphia athlete of all time, at least my generation. It's going to be different for everybody else.
Yeah, this is going to be fun, though, because the impact a player can have on each sport is so totally different. Like, one player can carry a team to a championship.
Yes.
But you can't do that in football.
No, you cannot do
that. Even the people who want to say Brady could do it, you can't do that in football.
No, you cannot do
that. It's hard to do it in baseball.
Yeah, Brady always had a lot of good defenses in New England. Brady's still Brady.
Yeah.
A lot of good defenses.
It's hard to do it in hockey. You can maybe get a hot goaltender, but basketball is maybe the most individually impacted sport, so you can see more of the argument there. It's going to be a really interesting conversation to see where people
fall. That's why this is a show for all age groups. I'm not only asking for the fellow 27-year-olds to call in and say, yes, you're right. No, my guys who are collecting Social Security, tell me, is he anywhere near the likes of Will and Doc? Let me know. Let's go to Nate in Southwest. Nate, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Andrew.
Yo, Nate.
Man, you cool, bro. But I don't know what your Connor. I'm at the dispensary right now. Do you guys want something while I'm here? Because you guys sound y'all both getting high right now.
I mean, yeah.
Come on now.
You could.
Are you sick? First Connor called me Carl after I say Nate. So I know something going on his side of the booth. But nah, bro, it's a sacrilegious, man. First of all, the dude that tweeted in the first tweet answered everything I had to say. Everything I had to say, you haven't touched it. You haven't got out the second round of the playoffs. You haven't got the MVP yet. You haven't made it to the championship. Even if you don't win it, you haven't been here yet. Don't get me wrong. I'm an Embiid fan. I'm a Sixers fan. I'm a ticket holder. So I love this team. But at the end of the day, Drew, he's not.
Could he get there? Could he get there? Is the question. I'm not saying right now you have to make a decision on February 23rd, 2021. I'm saying could Embiid get there? If he continues to play like this.
I don't think he'll get there especially not over Dr. J. Like, come on. Well, that's my lifetime. So I can't see nothing. And Doc won a chip in my lifetime. So I can't speak for you because you didn't see that. You understand what I'm saying? But. I mean, listen, if Joel win a ring, it's possible. But as of right now, nah, I don't see it because it's a lot of stuff that he has to accomplish. And you can't take off 20 games a year
right.
And think that you're going to be better than these other dudes that never took off that time. It's going to be hard for me to say that. I'm 46, bro, so I'm twice your age.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, again, and I want to be clear, I'm not trying to disrespect any generation. I'm not trying to do any of that. I'm just asking, I want all age groups to check in here with this conversation. Is it even possible that he could be up there at some point?
He might, Drew. He might.
All right, but so you're saying he might.
Right now, the generation over me is never going to say he's better.
Oh, no, yeah, there, no way. There's no chance.
I'm going to let you know that now. my dad and them generation going to be like, oh, heck no, he'll never be. So we not even going to have that. Now, if you want to talk about the Iverson generation, which was my era, and then probably the Doc and Barkley generation, yeah, he might eclipse that. But my dad and them will never say, yo, he was better than Will Chamberlain.
Yeah, it's never going to change. He changed the game. They moved back the free throw line. They moved up the net. They, I know.
All the old heads going to say that. You know
3 seconds in the lane. I hear you, Nate. I appreciate the call, man. I appreciate the wisdom coming in. Oh, I know. Anybody who was around for Wilt will never say anything. They'll never give in. The load management thing. So far, two callers, a lot of tweeters. The load management thing is holding back a lot of the Sixers fans in terms of Embiid. I'm pro load management to an extent.
See, I kind of am too.
To an extent. Like, if I need you in a big game, I need you in a big game.
I mean, it's smart. And it's the argument of this generation, it seems like, versus previous generations where it's smart versus tough. And which one's the right way to go? And sports is normally always skewed towards the tough side of that argument until recently when these guys start resting. Here's what I'll say. Is it fault of Joel Embiid if management says, hey, dude, we're going to sit you down so that we have you for the playoffs? Like, it doesn't take away from his ability as a basketball player.
No.
If he's got someone, doctors in his ear, saying, hey, man, your back looks like it's flaring up a little bit. Let me sit you down. And I'm not saying that's what's happening, for
sure.
And
I'm going to say this for people that think it's his call. It's not. There might be a day where he goes, coach, my back's killing me today. If he feels that way, fine. But it's not always his call. There's a lot of sports science nowadays. Instead of drinking beers and smoking cigarettes at halftime, right? There's sports science nowadays where, hey, Joe, we've logged your minutes over the last, we've played four games in 7 nights. We've traveled twice. Our data tells us you need to rest tonight.
Yeah, and if Wilt or Dr. J was playing now and they was, what do they think they're going to do? Like, argue with the owner of the team to play? Like, they'd be sitting too. It was a different era, but you can't fault Joel Embiid for the science improving and people telling him to sit down.
That's a good point.
That doesn't take away from his ability to score the basketball.
Now, I'm sure there are a lot of people like Nate, 20 plus years older than us, where people are they're listening. They're going, these two knuckleheads. Well, I want to hear from you. Let me know why I'm a knucklehead when it comes to this debate or conversation. It's not even a debate. I'm just asking a question because I'm 27 I need to make that clear. I am 27. The two top Sixers in my lifetime were Embiid and Iverson. And Embiid's happening right now. And Shaquille O'Neal, who we will replay the interview of, coming up at 11:40. He was on with the John Kincaid Show this morning. He was just speaking glowingly of Embiid. And this is Shaquille O'Neal, one of the other best big men of all time. One open line, 610-632-0975. A lot of great tweets coming in as well in regards to the greatest athletes that we've seen. And we'll go through this list coming out at the start of the 11 o'clock hour. The best athletes that we've seen, Connor and I at least, in our lifetime with all the teams in Philadelphia and where Embiid ranks with those guys. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
11 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz today and tomorrow as well. Connor Thomas sitting in my chair. You got one open line right now. You can grab it at 610-632-0975. The conversation completely has taken over the Embiid thing, right? The Embiid thing is the conversation. I opened up with Howie Roseman thing and whether or not I'm being too hard, but Mike from Delran, our first caller, sort of just squashed that saying, you continue to be too hard on the guy. Keep on going. I'm like, all right, that's fair. I got my answer. Even though Connor, who's producing the show today, said, it does seem like I'm showing that I'm not as appreciative of the Super Bowl, which, I don't know. I asked the question. I sort of thought about that this morning, and we'll have some morning thoughts coming up at 11:10. But I want to go through a quick list. And Connor, I want to see if you have sort of similar names on this list. And the conversation for Joel Embiid is whether or not he's not only the best Sixer of your lifetime. I'm speaking to you directly. Whatever age you are, where does he rank? Not just Sixers, but also Philadelphia athletes, right? So for me, I've only seen Iverson and Embiid. I didn't see Barkley. I didn't see Doc. I didn't see Moses. I didn't see Wilt. I didn't see any of these guys. Hal Greer, Dolph Shays. I wasn't around for these guys. I'm 27, damn it. So all I've seen is Iverson, the process, and Embiid, right? That has been, I watched Arnett Moultrie on a given night, Tony Roten, Ish Smith, Isaiah Cannon. Like, that was the majority. That was my college years.
None of those guys
that
made the list? Come
Think
on.
About that. How much that sucks. As a Sixers kid growing up, I know I always talk about how I was big on the Phillies, but the Sixers were my squad. Growing up, I will be honest with you, and this will, whoa, are you serious? Philly Sixers, Eagles, Flyers. I love the Flyers. I ended up having a fallout with the Flyers because I hated the direction of the organization. They're back up there now. But growing up, it went Philly Sixers, Eagles. Eagles were third on my list. It wasn't a football thing. I just loved the Sixers, and I loved baseball, which is why the Phillies were number one. But think about how much that sucked as a college kid going to Temple, $3.60 to get down to the Wells Fargo Center on the Broad Street line to go watch that dreck, right? But it landed you Joel Embiid. So I got a tweet from Ace. He goes, you young Bulls are sounding just like your age. You're selling Iverson short. He changed the game on and off the court. He changed basketball culture and introduced a whole new lane in the NBA, let alone the carry rules because of the crossover. And like one of the callers said, seeing Iverson get 50 wasn't going to knock your socks off because it wasn't unusual. Again, let me make myself clear. I know all this. I'm not selling Iverson short. I'm not saying Embiid is better than Iverson now. I'm just saying, could he potentially get to the point where he is A, better than Iverson, which would answer my question for my age group and Connor's age group, but where could he go? Could he be top three all-time in Sixers history? Because the dude is playing at an MVP-type level. He's doing things that no seven-footer really does. A few in the league do. Jokic is one of them. But, I mean, it's incredible the things that he's doing. So I just need to hear, is there any chance? Now, Connor, The other question for you and I is he the greatest Philadelphia athlete we've seen in our generation from all the sports? Now, for the Eagles, Dawkins, McNabb, and I put T.O. for the 1 year. I got to put him down for the 1 year.
He wasn't here long enough.
I got to put him down for the 1 year.
That one season can't outweigh like a career's worth of
the
stuff.
The Eagles front office screwed it up. If he's here, you win a Super Bowl at some point. But that's pretty much, obviously I love, you know, the guys of like Trott and Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown, but they're not the tippity top. I love Brian Westbrook. Maybe he's in the conversation for tippity top. He did things that no other running backs really did at that point.
They're like the Ben Simmons guys where they're great. They're incredible, but there's another level.
But I'll put Westbrook down out of appreciation. You can hear him every Friday from 4 to 5 with Mike Missanelli. Hockey, Lindros. You know, I mean, LeClaire is on that list, but is LeClaire Embiid level? I don't know. I was young though. Those I really loved hockey back then with that, and then everyone started getting shipped, and then they kept on trying to do all the stuff with all the old players, and I was done. But Giroux, he doesn't get to Embiid level. I don't think he gets enough respect in this city, but he doesn't get Embiid level.
No, his peak was close to where Joel probably is now, and Joel has another level.
Yeah, Joel can still go up there. Iverson, the only one for the Sixers. And then Phillies, I don't have Harper on the list just yet because he hasn't played like an MVP. Ryan Howard, obviously. Jimmy Rollins, obviously. Chase Utley, I just have him down there because he was obviously a big part of everything. I've said it before, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, even though I think Jimmy Rollins could be. So I would go Rollins above Chase Utley. Roy Halladay for his brief period of time. And Cliff Lee, before his arm fell off and before his brain fell out of his skull, the dude was elite. Am I missing anyone?
No, I don't think so. Not that's in
lifetime?
No, not that's in that
like,
level.
Like, too young for Schilling, right?
Right.
So that's not a part of it. Too young for Dalton, and Embiid is still, in terms of overall, like, he's still better.
Yeah, Halladay is one that just, he was dominant. Well, I know it was a short stretch, and I know I just kind of gave you grief over T.O., but like...
But he was.
But you want a Cy Young here.
I mean,
through a perfect game and a no-hitter in the playoffs
amazing.
Here. Like, he would be a tough one to top.
Yeah, he would be. So there's a... Those are the guys that I've written down. Again, 27. I want to hear from you guys. 610-632-0975. Morning thoughts coming your way at 11:10. We'll get back to the phones. Let's go to Chris in Jenkintown. Chris, you're on the Fanatic. Chris. Yo, Chris. I'll put Chris on hold. Let's
Hello.
Go to Chris in Tampa. Chris, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, this is Chris in Tampa.
Hey, Chris.
Okay, cool. Well, guys, great conversation today. I got to say, I never call down here if I listen. And I'm on the side of the road just happy to hear this conversation.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Listen, I'm 39 years old, okay? And Allen Iverson is the greatest player I've ever seen in my entire life, period. I don't care. You know, what that guy did was just incredible. Like night in, night out. And to me, he's icon, like everything Ace said in the email. He transcends the sport, like Dr. J, like Will, and, you know, Jordan, whatever. And it's just at a whole other level, in my opinion.
And will never be topped.
It's just, to me, and that's my childhood. It's the time of my life, 2001, you know, I mean, all that stuff.
But yeah.
Listen, I watch the Sixers every night. I got the package. And Embiid is having a 2001-type Allen Iverson year, period.
Yes, he is.
He is absolutely the most dominant player in the NBA right now. He can do everything. I think that GMs and coaches over the last 5 to 10 years have been dying to create Joel Embiid because the game has been lacking that centerpiece of a team who's the big man, the guy in the middle, who can do all the things all the other guys can do and then do it better. And then on top of that, because of the time that we're in, similar to other players, like people talk about, you know, players from the past, you know, they did something that nobody else was doing. Embiid is that guy. He's the center that's going to create centers.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jokic is an incredible player. Anthony Davis is an incredible player. But I'll still go, you know, Embiid, Jokic throw hands in terms of their NBA abilities, and Embiid could still come out on top.
And neither one of those guys are having the kind of season, this season, not career, this season. He is absolutely dominating the NBA. You take Embiid off that team, and we all know the they're down to 7-8 seed. I mean, if that. Okay,
but Ben Simmons, all right, so you're telling me that Iverson can't be beat, but now you've been on the last minute and a half saying how great Embiid is. So is it close?
Iverson can't be beat to me.
Okay.
Okay, to me. It'll never change.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, the LeBron-Jordan conversation, you know, people can have that argument all day. You're even LeBron. I mean, you're even like Harry Roseman. You're even like vanilla or chocolate. I don't know.
Right.
You know? What he's doing right now is like what Iverson did in 2001. And that's what's so special about it. That's what gives him the opportunity to talk about him maybe being one of the greatest Sixers of all time. This is incredible.
Yeah, and we're witnessing it. I'm going to read a tweet coming up in a second, but I want to ask you a question, Chris, because it's funny. You're calling from Tampa, and Connor and I had this conversation yesterday out of pure curiosity. Do you listen to Tampa Sports Radio at all while you're down there?
No. Listen, I'll tell you a funny story real quick. I would listen on Spotify, right? And then you would put, like, the hour up, and I'd have to, like, wait for the new hour to come in. And then you changed it where I had to wait till, you know, 2:30 to hear the whole show and you guys open, right? And I was freaking out. And like 2 weeks ago, I finally discovered I could just listen and stream on the website.
Yeah, you should do that. Stream all the time on any service. But I got to ask you, Chris, real quick. Yeah. Has Tampa Bay, have they tried to take ownership of the Raptors now that they're playing down there?
No.
All right, that answers my question. Thanks, Chris. Connor and I were talking about that. We're like, they don't have a team down there. So if you're from Tampa, like you're a long-time resident, now you didn't just move down there to escape the cold. Are Tampa Bay residents like, oh yeah, sure, I'll be a Raptors fan now. I guess not. He says no.
No, I mean,
not at all.
They've got a Stanley Cup and a Super Bowl over the past six months, so yeah, they're doing all right.
They're doing pretty good. Now, coming up, after Morning Thoughts, I have a man by the name of M on the line who is 70 years old, and says he's going to tell me anything I need to know. So I can't wait to talk to M. But before we get to Morning Thoughts, I have a note in my hand. Tasty Cake Dom. He was on the line. He had a drop off. He's a very busy, busy man. Tasty Cake Dom. Here's the note. He's 56 years old. By the way, Dan Fritz, incredible handwriting. I can't.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, beautiful. Dan Fritz is answering the phones today. 56 years old. Obviously, he bleeds Sixers. He says he's watched Doc, he's watched Moses. Joel Embiid, the greatest he's ever seen.
What?
And that is a guy who is diehard of all diehard Sixers. Like, Tasty Cake Dom loves his Sixers.
And he absolutely is a guy who, when we talk about something of the current era, he'll bring up players of the past. Yeah. They're like, what are you guys talking about?
He's not Embiid, consistently best he's ever seen.
Wow, that's surprising out of Dom.
Hey. Just putting it out there. All right, let's do some Morning Thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for Morning Thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up!
Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
Well, obviously, I started off the show with my initial morning thought, which was the Howie Roseman thing and how I've just been bashing him 6 days a week behind a microphone, one day a week to my dog at home, because I need to continue complaining about Howie Roseman because he deserves every bit of criticism there is. But it's now seeming like I'm going too far, and now I'm starting to not appreciate what he did 3 years ago. That was the first morning thought, and that's kind of what I started the show with. And then, obviously, the show's sort of taken over with this Joel Embiid thing. But my second morning thought, Connor, has nothing to do with sports. It's official that I have lost the war.
The hair war?
The hair war is done.
Oh, that's the worst.
I've won many a battle, but I've lost the war. We agreed to the compromise of the shaving of the beard or the trimming of the beard because she likes the stubble, my wife, of course. But the hair war is over.
You fought it longer than I thought you would have. You haven't had hair this long since I've known you.
October 5th of 2020 was the last time I got my hair cut.
Wow.
And
you.
It got to the point where she's just like, no, it's done. So this Thursday at 3 o'clock, the hair will be chopped. And I was literally like looking at the mirror today with my eyes all crusty. Had to wash the face off. And I have this message for my fellow quarantine hair growers. Keep on fighting the good fight. If you're single, or if the wife doesn't mind it, but she's getting kind of like, all right, he's just doing this during quarantine. For me, keep fighting the good fight, because I've gotten many a compliment on the hair. Except the one person who matters.
Listen, people love the flow, but when it's one that matters, you're out of luck. That sucks, dude. As a guy who's been growing it out a little bit myself.
Yeah, you're going flow right now.
Used to have the way longer hair back when I first started here. I pour one out for my fallen brother.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Keep on fighting the good fight if you're out there still growing the quarantine locks. But this Thursday, 3 o'clock, Miss Kim, who's been cutting my hair since I was 5, she'll take the scissors and get the job.
Well, you're going to save on shampoo. You can actually not have to wear the hat every day.
Yeah, I know.
There you go. There's upsides. You got to look at the bright side.
But she's making me do it in February when it's freezing out, and it's just ridiculous. All right, what do you got, Connor?
So the first thing I thought of, and I was kind of thinking about it yesterday a little bit too, it popped up this morning. Mm-hmm. Every time I think about the state of Philly sports while I'm coming in, it's just kind of naturally like I think about what we're going to get into today on the John Kincaid Show when I'm handling the phones so I can figure out what you people calling in want to talk about. And I noticed a trend that's been happening recently because the Sixers lost and the Flyers just lost in the Lake Tahoe game and terrible ice conditions.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are a dumpster fire. I was thinking about the raised level of joking and busting on people that's been going on at the station here.
Yes.
I'm thinking about there's a correlation that's starting to be drawn between when both the Flyers and Sixers lose or one of the teams has a particularly bad game and how people get treated around the station. Like the amount of comments about, let's just say, pick something arbitrary, my wardrobe maybe.
Uh-huh.
Goes through the roof when the teams don't play as well. So do you think the mood around the city, do you notice that when the teams, all together, like when they start falling, just even day to day? Like if the Eagles have a bad year, people are angry.
Yes.
But even day to day now, it can kind of feel the animosity shift.
Well, Eagles especially because it's one game a week. So your mood changes following Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. They lose, 4 o'clock, they lost. You're angry Monday when you're driving to work and you're honking and you hate everybody on the freeway and you want to fight everybody in front of you. So that's that especially. But because we're coming off an awful Eagles season, all the drama involving the Eagles, the idea that they might be a 4-win team next year, we're now hyper-focused on the Sixers, hyper-focused on the Flyers, to the point, and we're going to have a conversation about Sixers angst tomorrow.
Right. And when one thing goes wrong with the Sixers or Flyers, all of a sudden it's amplified.
It's ballooning. But you're feeling, so now let me get my small violin out here. You're feeling like you're getting bullied a little bit.
Just a little bit. A little bit of bullying here and there. Nothing I can't handle. I'm not complaining. I'm okay. But I'm just alerting people to the fact that there may be some unfair criticism being hurled my way that I think has its generation in the losses recently.
Okay, I will text John Kincaid so that he can continue it because they're not playing tonight. No team's playing tonight, so hopefully you get more tomorrow because you're trying to air the grievances on this show. You got to bring
Sixers
it up there,
play tonight, dude, don't they?
No.
Wow. What day is it? Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
You're right.
They're back tomorrow against the Raptors in Tampa. The new home of the Tampa Bay Raptors.
See, I'm off. This extra, jumping into the next show, I assume shows
it's all right,
are days.
It's all right.
This morning was Tuesday, and today it's Wednesday.
It's all right.
Nah, it's not how it works.
You've been up early. You've been up early.
Wow. All right. Need some coffee.
Yeah, you do. You do. Another morning thought of mine, and this is another list that we're going to get through, is snow. Now, yesterday was ridiculous. Like, yesterday, I thought we were going to have no more snow. And then all of a sudden, boom, we get what seems like a blizzard, and there's 3 to 4 inches on the ground. So, Connor, you and I were texting back and forth this morning as we were getting ready for the show. The things that, like, everybody enjoys a snowstorm, I think, like, or the idea of a snowstorm. Like, oh, my God, I can't wait for there to be snow on the ground, and I can't wait for the beer that I'm going to drink because I don't have to go to the store after work because there's snow on the ground. So I'm just going to eat whatever's in the freezer and all that kind of stuff. But what I want to do at some point this show, and we can start right now, is come up with a list of things that after the snowfall hits, you start regretting wanting the snow.
I'll give you one right now. You Go start ahead. Regretting forgetting the NBA schedule. The Sixers play at 7:30 tonight, dude. Come on.
They do?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I thought I was crazy. Yes. Yeah, they play tonight. They play the Raptors at 7:30.
The hell's wrong?
Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
They do play tonight at 7:30.
Okay. So that's number one.
All right. Okay.
I was going to say, I was like, I felt crazy.
Yeah. All
okay.
right. No,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Now
Where
that's
were you all my two updates?
Now that's rectified.
Where were you all my two updates
I'm sorry.
This morning?
That's on me. Hand up.
I'm doing a show. I'm done.
Got to be better.
I'm hosting. I'm doing updates. I'm doing this thing and that.
We got two guys with like 14 hats on. We're trying
Jeez,
our best.
Man. All right. So they're playing at 7:30. That's
all right.
my fault.
But snow day. Back to the snow day.
Yes.
Okay. My number one would probably be the stores and like bars and restaurants closing down. So the inability to get delivery. It's tough to get food. If you don't have stuff to make food, if you want to get like one of the delivery services, or you call a pizza place to drop something off, you can't be doing that in a snowstorm.
Right.
It's not right. And a lot of places closed down, so you can't do it. So that's inconvenient.
And I'll say this, other than the car thing, because we all know if it snows, you know, you have to clean off the car. Like, you could come up with five things just with the vehicle. You got to clean off the car. You got to warm up the car. You got to drive through the terrible conditions. But outside of the vehicle stuff, I want to hear from you guys at 610-632-0975. And you can turn down the music. The thing when it comes to the snowstorm, everybody looks forward to it. Oh, I can't wait for the snow. And then it happens. And now you start complaining about doing this and that and this. And one of the things that comes in for me, the first thing I think of is if you have a pet, a dog, and this dog, you have a backyard, the dog goes out back. I had not been able to really pick up in, 3 weeks? I went out there probably a week and a half ago, and I thought I had frostbite on my hands because you're grabbing the ice as you're picking up. And then when there's more snow that then piles up on top, it's now hidden beneath. I mean, you have no idea where it is.
Yeah, they're just leaving landmines for when it melts.
The snow's going to melt. I live in Manyunk, so I don't have I don't have grass. I have a few dirt patches where we planted some things. But other than that, it's concrete and it's brick and all this stuff. So it's not going to disappear. It's just going to be like melted and stuck to the ground.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you got a medium-sized to large-sized dog. Like, my family dog is small guy. It's like 10 pounds.
Okay.
So the snow, when it gets piled up, they don't even have anywhere to go. Like, unless you shovel off the sidewalk, and they don't always like to go on the sidewalk, makes it tough to even get them to go outside and go. Because, like, they're going to be covered by everything. Snow makes it tough on the pups, man.
Yeah, I feel bad for my pups. She wants to go on walks, but I can't do it. There's ice all over the hills. You name it. All right, 610-632-0975. My apologies. Sixers play tonight at 7:30. I was in the heat of the morning thoughts, and it made me think. But we will continue to talk about the Joel Embiid conversation and whether or not he is the greatest Sixer of all time for your generation. And if he's not, where does he rank? And then where does he rank in terms of Philadelphia athletes? There's guys I have on the list in my 27 years that I go, Embiid may be greater than this player. So where does he rank in Philadelphia sports in your generation? 610-632-0975. Also coming up at 11:40. It's always fantastic. John Kincaid Show. They had Shaquille O'Neal on. Now, the John Kincaid Show is always fantastic, but they had Shaquille O'Neal on earlier today at 9 o'clock. We will replay it in its entirety coming up at 11:40. But first,
it's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz today and tomorrow. Anthony will be back on Thursday, 11 o'clock hours, brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Coming up at 11:40, as I've been promising throughout the show. If you missed it earlier today, Shaquille O'Neal on with the John Kincaid Show at around 9 o'clock this morning, and it was fantastic. Between his love for Joel Embiid, all other kinds of topics they discussed, dunking on Pat Egan, which is always fun. So looking forward to hearing that. Pat's still here, which is nice. So maybe Pat will hear it again. So we'll be replaying the Shaquille O'Neal interview from earlier this morning coming up at 11:40. But let's get back to the phones and continue this conversation about Joel Embiid that I got from hearing Shaq. Like, Shaq was just so loving of Embiid today, which in the past, we all know it. Shaq has been hard on Embiid during the TNT broadcast, as has Charles Barkley. And Shaq has been glowing of Embiid. The first time Shaq was on with the John Kincaid Show, when John first started here on the station, he was saying a lot of great things about Embiid. But today, like, especially, the love that he felt for Embiid made me think, all right, well, let's just love on Embiid today. Now, there's been a lot of backlash to my conversation because a lot of people were saying he's not even close to Iverson. He's not even close to the other generations of players that you personally have seen, like the Julius Irvings of the world, Moses Malone. I didn't see those guys. I'm 27. But to me, to say he's never going to reach Iverson, like just angrily, hold on. Maybe he can be. If he's playing at this elite level for the next 3 to 5 years, eventually he'll start falling apart a little bit at his size. But if he starts playing at this level for the next 3 to 5 years and brings home an MVP trophy and an NBA title, which he possibly could, that conversation's got to be real. I'm not saying right now, but that conversation's got to be real. So coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to talk to my man M, who's 70 years old and will tell us all about it. But first, let's go to Robert on the cell. Robert, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I went to University of Kansas, and I was there when Embiid was. Sorry, can't help you out much with the age difference. I'm 27 myself, but, you know,
When he was at Kansas? What was that like?
It was incredible, but really, you know, the biggest thing was that year the hype was on Andrew Wiggins all the way up. But I remember kind of the game where he emerged was against New Mexico. I think it was New Mexico or New Mexico State. They had 7'4" center. I believe he played in the NBA, but Embiid just absolutely took him to school on the footwork in the later half of that game. And, you know, Kansas fans are educated in basketball, and, you know, it wasn't in the field house. It was in the Sprint Center, but people were silent, and that's kind of where Embiid emerged. It was pretty crazy.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you got to see him in college.
He was insane. That team, you know, if he had been healthy, you know, I really think we could be talking about that as one of the greatest.
If he was healthy,
teams,
man, he'd be the first overall pick.
I don't think we're talking about him as a Sixer, exactly. I think, you know, we might be talking about, you know, LeBron and Embiid teaming up in Cleveland for a championship run. And Wiggins might be here. And, you know, the process for what it was might have had to change.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I really think Embiid could ascend to that level. It's hard to compare because they're not, you know, apples to apples between him and Iverson. And I think there's a lot more to go. But I think there's also question marks. You know, we're also comparing Sixer to Sixer. But
yeah, which is hard.
Because Wilt is also a Jayhawk, and I think that's the question is, I don't think people in Lawrence would consider Embiid the greatest Jayhawk at this point. You still have, you know, Paul Pierce up there. You have some great names. I think he can absolutely ascend, but I think there's a lot of room to grow.
Yeah, and there is, Robert, and I appreciate the call. I'm not saying right now, like, oh my God, Embiid's the best player ever. I'm just saying what I've seen in his career, and this year is obviously the best season he's ever had so far. If he continues to play like this, he very well could be. I have him with the likes of Brian Dawkins for my generation, my age of 27, of potentially being the greatest Philadelphia athlete. Right, you got the incredible, incredible stretch of Ryan Howard before getting hurt. You have Brian Dawkins. I have Donovan McNabb on the list because Donovan was my quarterback growing up, and he was spectacular. And yes, did he come up short in big games? Yes, he did, but he was a pretty damn good quarterback. And then I have Iverson, obviously, Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley. But, I mean, Embiid is up there. Adam tweets in, I'm 39. Iverson was my hero when I was playing balls, number 3 in high school. Embiid is a skill set like I've never seen before and has the capacity to be the GOAT.
I'm going to be a nightmare for them, too.
I love JoJo. All right, I've been promising this one. Let's go to M in the Northeast. M, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, I may be 70, but I enjoy the young pups on this radio station a whole lot.
I listen to
you and the Cuz every day. I tune in at 10 o'clock. Okay, best player I ever saw was Doc. Best athlete I ever saw was Wilt. Here's what the old heads won't tell you.
Okay.
It's a different game today.
Yes.
Okay? And I will give you, I'll point to one aspect of it, and that's travel. When Wilt played, the two farthest places they had to travel to were St. Louis and Minneapolis. And if he's being told by a coach that we're going to load management you, then that means he's coachable, and he's doing what the coach is trying to tell him. I'm also one of those old guys. I enjoy today's basketball immensely. I don't shut myself off because they don't have guys in the post that can't move and are pushing Wilt around.
Right.
I enjoy every era. I think Embiid is going to be the best player of his era. Again,
wow.
There's always one caveat with him, and that is injuries.
Of course.
Now, is he going to be better than Wilt? I would seriously doubt that, but I don't know. But here's what I'll tell you. I'll call back in 10 years when I'm 80, and I'll give you another report, okay?
I can't wait. Now, are you saying best player of his era for the Sixers or for NBA?
I think for the NBA, I say that.
And you've seen a lot of ball.
I understand that there's a lot of ball, and I'm also saying that for all intents and purposes, LeBron is at the end of his era.
Okay.
And there's somebody that has to take over. The step back jumper, when he was guarded and they needed a basket, you don't see that in big men. Okay?
Right.
You just don't see that. He's just a wonder to me. I really love Joel. I love Ben Simmons. I don't want to trade him in any way, shape, or form. I want to see how this year plays out. I'm done with they only got to the second round because that was a completely different team.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all kinds of people on Twitter. I'm on Twitter. And they're, oh, they lost. They're never going to get out of the second round. This isn't the team that we're going to see in April. And people forget that. And I have full trust in the management of the 76ers that they're going to do the right thing to bring in a piece to improve the team. I'm not telling you they're going to win a championship because LeBron is still out in L.A. I'm not going to go out and say that
right
this year. But I do think that if they do what they are supposed to do, and I mean the management, I think they have an opportunity to win a championship.
Em, I'm going to say this to you, Em. I love you. You're my man.
I will tell you. I will also tell you this. I was on a high school staff that coached two NBA players, so I know what it takes to get into the NBA. And those two players were Kyle Lowry and Katino Mobley.
Wow.
And I will tell you,
okay.
I had nothing to do with any of the boys. About the only thing I had to do was rebound foul shots after practice. And Kyle Lowry was the hardest working player I ever saw.
How much has he changed his team? Because there's rumors that he could potentially come to the Sixers.
Well, if he comes to the Sixers, I think they get to the finals. I would go out and say that if they got Kyle Lowry here. I think he is exactly what they need because there's one thing about Kyle that I always enjoyed, and that was his motor. He's always on.
And you wouldn't think that he's 35, right? Like, you think this is a guy that could be still 25 the way he moves. Em, I really appreciate the call today, man. And I'm looking forward to your report in 10 years, all right?
Here's a morning thought for you. You're a young guy. If your wife tells you to cut the hair, you cut the hair. When you're 70, you can grow your hair and do whatever you want.
All right. That's a good point, Em. I appreciate that. That is wisdom right there.
That is. That's
not
a great call.
Not only on the Sixers, but the hair front as well. Now, I don't know if my hair will be growing when I'm 70. That's a big, I'm not going to push the fast forward button because I like my age right now. But I don't know what how they say it's the, your mother's father. It's your grandfather on your mom's side or whatever.
Did he have flow?
Well, he passed away when my mom was young, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. So, mystery box.
You don't know. And obviously, I don't know my great, great, great grandfather. I don't know what kind of hair he had out in Lithuania. So we'll find out.
By then, there's going to be some type of scientific advancement where...
Listen, dude. All I know is, if I cut my hair now, and I have thought about this, this could be the last time it, like, grows.
No, dude, come on.
I got the grays
on
the...
Not like 47, you're 27.
I got the grays on the chin already.
Well, that's because you're a Philly sports fan.
That's true. That's a great point. M in Northeast Philly, 7 years old, says Embiid could be the best player of his era in the NBA. Amazing. One open line, 610-632-0975. Probably the best big man of his era was Shaquille O'Neal. He joined the John Kincaid Show earlier this morning. Here it is.
Shaquille O'Neal joins us on the John Kincaid Show, and he is, everything's all set. Your morning routine has been, you're up early this morning, my man.
Yeah, I'm up early because of you.
That's the only reason you got up early today?
The only reason, I never get up past 9 o'clock.
That is unbelievable. We're very, very happy to have you joining us like that. Normal night, TNT, sometimes you're getting done at, you're walking out of Turner, well, like some nights like 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, get home by 3, work out, eat a couple snacks at 4, in bed by 5 or 6.
What's a couple snacks at 4 a.m. for you, Shaq?
Bananas, oranges, and peanuts.
So Rock, I'm telling you this.
And lemon Oreos.
Lemon Oreos. Oh, yeah. Rock's.
I can't lie to my best friend, John King.
I take it that Rock is not listening this morning.
No, he's not.
Rock Shabazz, you got to check it out. A spectacular trainer right up the street back there. Shaq, we are all so excited about Joel Embiid and what he's doing. And you have been a guy who has offered him some friendly advice, whether he wanted it or not. What have you seen out of Embiid this year? And do you believe it's something that he's reached a new level? This is where he's going to be at from here on out.
He's playing up to his size. He's playing with a lot more enthusiasm. And he's getting the numbers that it takes to be a big man in the MVP category. Any big man can get 20. Any big man can get 23. But it takes a special big man to average over 28 and 10 and dominate the way he did. The game he played the other day had me in tears. I haven't seen a big man play like that in a long time. I haven't seen a big man in the MVP discussion in a long time. So I'm happy for Philly. I'm happy for Joel Embiid. But don't get too happy, because in the NBA there's 3 seasons. There's first half, there's second half, and then there's playoffs. And if you dominate in all 3 seasons, especially the playoffs, hey, Philadelphia is going to be a happy city.
Shaq, what do you think is the biggest difference in Embiid's play from, say, last year, last couple of years, to this year?
He has that look in his eye like he wants it. That's the first thing I see. Second thing is he's shooting less threes. And he's getting a lot of his points in the paint. That's where he should get his points. You know, we went on last year, then he came back and responded, the game is different. I don't want to be Shaq and all that. And then I responded, I don't want you to be me. I want you to just play to your size. A guy with that much size and that much talent, game should be easy, especially now with these little cupcakes.
You said that you killed off the big man in the NBA. This inspires you, though, when you see a guy play like this. You are genuinely happy when you see guys ascend towards the throne that they want to be on.
Yes, I'm happy for him, and I'm also happy for Joker. You got two big guys playing their size, playing the way they play. Listen, if you have the ability to step out and shoot the three, by means, do it. But don't make that your whole game when you're 7 foot and all the defenses now are lazy defense, so they just switch. If I'm in a pick and roll and a guard switches on me, I'm never shooting jumper, ever in my life. If I go over to a 1-5 pick and roll and the guy 6 foot is guarding me, I'm going to back his little ass down and put him in the basket.
Shaq, as currently constructed, do you believe this Sixers roster is good enough to win it all, or do you think they're a piece away?
I think they are good enough to win it all. I think another big difference is they believe. You know, when Kobe and I first started, we were very, very talented. But when Phil Jackson came, we believed, because we knew that he knew what he was talking about. Doc Rivers has a championship, and he's been very successful in his league. So they believe. My favorite player on the team is Tobias Harris. Believe it or not, he's the key to how far they go. And, you know, he's a guy that's playing very well, shoots the ball very well, scores very aggressive. But in order for them, in my opinion, to go to that next level and even the finals, he's going to have to play superb basketball, and I think he will, and I think he can.
Shaq joining us on the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And Shaq, the day, to the Tobias Harris point, the day that Doc Rivers ends up being the Sixers coach, Shaq said to me, well, now I can hear you stop complaining about Tobias Harris because he will know how to use Tobias Harris. He looks like a different player, Shaq. I mean, and guys are being used differently under Brett Brown, and you know how the Brett Brown era used to annoy me to no end.
Well, I'm not going to disrespect Brett Brown. Brett Brown was a fine man. I've never been the guy to disrespect coaches because, but you know, me and you had this argument before. Coaches don't matter. Coaches are the same. X and O's, do this, do that. But you as a player has to go out and put the team on your shoulders and say, hey, follow me. Let's get it done. Again, Doc is a great coach. And, yes, he is using the guys differently, but you know, in the realness of the situation, guys have to go out and play and step up, period.
Shaq, looking at the current roster right now, a lot of Sixers fans think they need one more piece. Would you attack the trade deadline or just try to address it in the veteran buyout period, mainly a three-point shooter?
First of all, who are you?
I'm the guy that you dunked on last interview. I'm back.
He's our charity project, Shaq.
How old are you, Pat? 18? You sound like a little kid. Put some bass in your voice, Pat.
Jesus, man.
He's dunking on that.
I want to know with the trade deadline.
All right, let me rephrase that. I want to know with the trade deadline, who should they go get?
Now you get a Southern accent? Do you think that helps?
Just answer the question.
Did you just tell Shaquille O'Neal to answer the question?
Well, I'm not facing him one-on-one, so it's fine.
You know he comes to Philly. You know he comes here.
Yeah, I know. This may sound weird, but Bradley Beal.
Wow. He's the guy.
So you'd have to go all in for that.
No, not really. Not really.
What's Beal like?
I don't know. Beal's a shooter. He's another bona fide scorer. If you had him, it'll be nice. You know, I actually like doing stuff like this. I was just like sitting, oh, if they had Russell Westbrook, if they had Bradley Beal. So, man, I don't know how that stuff works, but I know he's, I don't think he's happy. So, but Bradley Beal in Philly.
Shaquille O'Neal, just a little heads up that Pat Egan is shorter than Olivia. He's shorter than a little.
I'm also out of town when you were in town, so.
No, he'll be here. Shaq, when you talk about coaches don't matter, I want you to expound on that a little bit. There has been a distinct difference in the Philadelphia 76ers in the play of so many players since Doc Rivers took over, so doesn't coaching matter?
That's because they believe in Doc Rivers, period. Listen, John, coaches can't go out there and play. Think about it. What did Phil Jackson do?
He sat back and let you play.
Thank you. That's it. And you know, he used to always tell us, I'm not going to bail your ass out. Figure it out. So, we believed him because we knew that every time we got swept by Utah and San Antonio and go home and watch the finals, he was there. So everything he said, we believed. But he told me straight up, hey, man, got to average 28-10 during the regular season. And then in the playoffs, you might have to average 40. For us to be successful. And I said, okay. And that's what I did. But I never looked at him and I never said, oh, it's the coach's fault, this, that. No, we know what we had to do. I had to dominate, Kobe had to dominate, and the others had to be ready. When me and Kobe got double teamed and we kicked it out to guys like Derek Fisher and Big Shot Bob, they had to be ready to shoot.
Shaq, you talked about Tobias being your favorite player on this team, and we've talked endlessly about Joel Embiid, but Ben Simmons with those two guys, what kind of game do you think he needs to play to get the most out of those two guys and to get the most out of the team?
Well, Ben needs to take advantage of his opportunities. Guys, you know, the so-called extras, he needs to develop a jump shot. Not really. You know, a guy without a jump shot is averaging 18 points in the league. He needs to play with speed. Whenever a shot is missed, he needs to get the ball, he needs to go, he needs to do what he does. Keep the others involved, attack the rim. If a guy is smaller, guarding him, he needs to punish that guy. Just needs to, play his game. Stop. I don't want you shooting threes. I don't want you shooting fadeaway jumpers. I want you attacking the basket, drawing the defense, and kicking out to Tobias and all those other guys. But right now I think he's averaging 18. In the playoffs, he's going to have to take it up to 24, 25.
Shaq, you always you always told me about playing in front of angry crowds. You loved playing road games as much as you loved ever playing in front of a home crowd. We just had Carson Wentz leave this town as the quarterback and saying now through his camp, they're saying, go to a fan base that's less venomous than Philadelphia. You always told me you fed off that. You loved playing in places like that.
Because I realized earlier it is about me, but it's not about me. It's about a guy named John and his beautiful daughter Olivia sitting there watching me play. Okay, John's talking smack in front of Olivia. I got to make him be quiet because Olivia wants to watch the game. He's talking about my free throws. Watch me tuck my elbow in and knock these two free throws down and look at John. Because Philadelphia, Boston, New York, these people understand what it takes to be great. They understand, they know what winners look like. They know what championship teams look like. And I feed off that. I'm not sensitive.
All right, Shaq, I love you, and I thank you for getting up with us this morning, brother.
Love you, too. I'm going back to bed.
Go back to bed.
Thanks, Shaq. Fantastic as always, Shaquille O'Neal on with the John Kincaid Show earlier this morning. That entire interview, you just heard it, but you can also hear it again later or now, whenever you want to listen to it. 975thefanatic.com. The interview is podcasted. So 975thefanatic.com. You can hear the entire interview with Shaquille O'Neal on with the John Kincaid Show. A lot of fantastic things that we will continue to talk about on the other side. We got one open line right now, 610-632-0975. He said a lot of great things, not about just Joel Embiid, about the Sixers as well. Talking about how they're a team that could get to the finals. He mentioned Bradley Beal being upset in Washington and how that could help the Sixers get him for a lower price. I don't see it. I feel like you still have to pay a lot. I mean, look at what Brooklyn had to give up from Houston, and James Harden decided not to play anymore and gain like 80 fake pounds. So it's going to happen. It's going to cost a lot. I don't know if he comes to Philadelphia, but we'll find out. It's something to pay attention to. 610-632-0975. We'll run through your calls on the other side. Barrett Brooks coming your way at 110, but until then, it is all your calls. So Matt, Sean, Mike, Dante Reese, and Tone, you guys hang tight. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
12 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz. It's been a fun, spirited conversation today regarding Joel Embiid. And I really got the idea when I was listening to Shaquille O'Neal earlier this morning on the John Kincaid Show. We just replayed the interview. You can hear it on 97.5thefanatic.com. But Shaq was glowing of Embiid. And it's a guy that Shaq has always been kind of hard on. And he's mentioned it in the past, right? He said, I'm hard on Joel Embiid because I know there is more to his game. I know he can be better. I just want to try to help any way to motivate him. I don't know how much Joel Embiid listens to Shaq, but I also feel like Embiid does listen to Shaq because I feel like Embiid's one of those guys that listens to everyone and tries to use any bit of motivation and any bit of trolling he can do that when he does win the MVP, he can take shots at people. Like if Embiid wins the MVP this year, I think he'll go on like a Twitter rampage and just like posting a bunch of tweets of people that thought he was cooked and would never be good, blah, 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 blah. But the question I was asking today at 610-632-0975 is whether or not Joel Embiid is the best Sixer of, depending on your lifetime. My lifetime is 27 years. Connor's lifetime is 26 years. I had a caller earlier, my man Nate in Southwest Philly, lifetime of 47 years. He said, not even close to Iverson. Maybe could be, but not close to Iverson just yet. And then I've had two very interesting responses. One, you guys all know Taste the Cake Dom, 56 years old, has watched Dr. J, has watched Moses, was a 1983 Sixers super fan, says that Joel Embiid is the best player he's ever seen. My man M in Northeast Philly, 70 years old, says that Joel Embiid will never surpass Wilt, which, okay, but he said that, he should be in the conversation. And he also says, obviously, the game is different from when Wilt played to when Embiid played. So, you know, he's kind of saying, listen, Wilt is the best of his generation. But he said that Embiid could be the best player of his era. Not just Sixers, but NBA. Now, there's been other older callers and older tweeters that are saying you're crazy and blah, blah, blah. He'll never be as good. But I'm just trying to ask, your eyes, can Joel Embiid be one of the best Sixers players of all time? Could he also be one of the best athletes in Philadelphia? And I have a very small list of guys that are either better or in the conversation in my lifetime. Dawkins, McNabb, Owens, Westbrook, Lindros, Giroux, Howard, Rollins, Utley, Halliday, Cliff Lee, Allen Iverson. Now, we're going to talk to Dries in a bit. He said I left the name off the list. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. But that's not many names. That is not many names. And Embiid could be up there. So I want to hear from you guys. Let's go to Mike in New Haven. Mike, you're on the Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Yo. Yeah, hey, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Let's go. Oh, first time caller. Love the show.
Glad
love
you're excited.
Show, guys. Born and raised in Delco. Shout out St. Bernadette's Drexel Hill. Shout out St. Joe's Prep 17th and Girard. I just had to call in today, guys. I love listening to sports. I love talking sports. I listen to you guys every day.
Thanks, man. This debate
drives me nuts. It just raises my blood pressure. The whole, you know, best athlete across generation, it can just be so frustrating. And you know, when I called in earlier, I was a lot more fired up than I am now. I think you guys have been doing a pretty good job moderating the conversation. And I think this guy, M, has to call in more often. That was a fantastic call. It was unbelievable. And that's the guy. Like, that's the model for this conversation. Like, I just think this conversation, it has to be more educational. It has to be less hostile. You know, I've never seen the older guys. I've never seen Will. I've seen the highlights, but it's different.
Highlights doesn't tell the story. No, exactly.
You're not living through it. And
my favorite, you know, basketball player to watch highlight reels of is Jason Williams because of the passes he can make. Is Jason Williams in the conversation of best player of all time? No.
No, but you didn't live in that town when he was playing there, right. And you might have a more passionate feeling about it. You know, I want to hear about Wilt. I want to hear how good he was, but not after you call me a child because I wasn't born sooner. You know what I mean?
I
think you guys have been doing a good job. I think, you know, this conversation can sometimes bring the worst out in people. And that just drives me nuts.
Because people hold on to the players from their generation. Like, I've been called a young nitwit on here, and that's fine. You guys feel that way. You feel that way. But I'm also trying to express the fact that I am 27 years old. So, no, exactly. I did not see Charles with the Sixers, right? I was very young. I did not see Dr. J play a second of basketball live. I obviously didn't see Will.
And that doesn't mean you can't respect their opinion. And frankly, I just want to hear about it. I want to hear why you love them. So, whatever it is, you guys have been doing a good job. You guys are the best. Michael Pittman's the man. Go Birds. Have a good week.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. How about that? That was nice.
That's a great call. We're having a lot more level-headed, reasonable discussion over this than I thought we were.
Yeah, you're right. I thought there was going to be a lot of anger and vitriol. Oh, what are you talking about? People will never be load management. Yeah, I know all that. Generations are totally different. And I said from the very beginning, because there was a guy who tweeted it in, so I let him do the talking. I'm not going to do Wilt Chamberlain played against guys who were like 6'4". Like, Wilt Chamberlain, you know, I didn't do that, right?
Well, he's playing against milkmen and
exactly.
garbage guys.
I didn't do all that. Like, I've had this conversation with Tyrone Johnson before. We did the show, there was a couple times we've done the show together when Mike's been off. And we talked about like the generation of like the concrete Charlies of the world. The guy was called Concrete Charlie not because he hit hard. He had a concrete company because during the week, it wasn't 2-a-days and it wasn't like sports medicine and coming in for, you know, the ice baths. No, he had to go work in his concrete company and he was probably smoking cigarettes at halftime. You know, like, it's clearly different from 1960 to 2020. Like, Concrete Charlie in today's NFL is severely undersized.
You don't think Chuck had the hyperbaric chamber?
Aaron Donald would destroy him when he was playing on the O-line. And when he would switch to the other side and play D-line, he would have no shot getting to Russell Wilson. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. Like, I said this before and I got a lot of heat for it. And I think you and I talked about this before. I watched when we did the, when the pandemic was real, we were doing the playback. Well, the pandemic's still real. When there was nothing going on, sports were shut down. Let me make that clear before somebody says, Andrew Salchunas of 97.5 doesn't believe the pandemic exists. I do, clearly. My wife's a nurse. But when the pandemic was really in its thick of it and things were shut down and there was no game, so Anthony and I were doing the playback every day and we had to find different themes every single week. And trust me, I hated it. I hope you enjoyed it. I hated it. We did the 1985 national championship game between Villanova and Georgetown. It was the most boring game I've ever watched. Most boring game I've ever watched in my life. There was no shot clock, right? So guys just dribble, 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 pass. Dribble, 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 pass. Dribble, dribble. Oh, here's the guy that's open on the block. 2 points. The final score of that game, let's see if I can pull it up real quick, was probably about like 68 to 65.
Well, you're what? You're 2 years into having the three-point line. Because they had it, 83 was the first year they had the three-point line in college basketball. Yes. So
66 to 64 was the final score.
Barn burner.
And I will say, nah, that's disrespectful. I'm kidding. But like, I mean, like I didn't mean it to be disrespectful, but when I watched that game, I was like, man, today's NBA, it's boom, boom, flying up and down. And I know there are people that don't like today's NBA. There's no art. There's too many three-pointers. Depending on the games you're watching, like the Sacramento Kings, there's no art about the Sacramento Kings. They just fly up and down the court. They can win by scoring 140 points, or they can lose because they gave up 160. But all I know is that 66 to 64, I was like, oh, sorry, did I fall asleep watching this game? Because it's not what I am used to. So a lot of people don't like this conversation about the Embiid thing because, oh, hey, he will never be as good as Will Chamberlain. Well, it's a totally different league. Like the fact that Joel Embiid can step out and hit a three, but can also do a Euro step, he can do a pump fake Euro step to the rim at 7 foot. I had a guy earlier that said Allen Iverson changed the game, especially with the crossover. He's right. But look at what Joel Embiid is doing at 7 foot. Back in Iverson's era, there wasn't 7-footers doing that. Tim Duncan had to kiss off the glass. Shaquille O'Neal just destroyed human souls and ate them alive. But there was no Embiid.
Yeah, a bank shot made Tim Duncan one of the best power forwards of all time.
Exactly. Now, maybe you could say Dirk, because Dirk was able to go all over the court. But, you know, I go, it's hard to compare generations. But you can't be, I don't want to be disrespectful toward the young, the older generation of players. I would never do that because I appreciate history of sports. If you know me, you know that I love reading up on everything.
Larry Bird notwithstanding.
Yeah, I hate Larry Bird. He wouldn't make it in today's NBA. He'd be a 13th guy on the bench. I'm kidding. Maybe. Steph Curry's got a better jump shot. I got in a fight with my dad's friends about that one day. I said Steph Curry's got a better jump shot than Larry Bird.
I mean, he's higher on the percentage list than Bird, but okay.
Thank you. But I don't want to be disrespectful toward the older generation, but the older generation can't go, oh, well, load management. Well, it's different nowadays. And what Embiid is doing could possibly be in the conversation for top, what, 5, 6ers of all time?
He's already in the top 5, in my mind.
Okay.
Talent level alone, he's already in the top 5.
I had a guy tweet in earlier, Hal Greer, in no particular order. Hal Greer, Iverson, Barkley, Moses, and Wilt. So that's 5. Now,
see, Hal Greer,
we didn't see, you know, Hal Greer so much longer ago.
Right, but I have no frame of reference.
But when he was playing, he was incredible. So, okay, I'd take that guy's word for it.
But he had 4 of the 4 I would have. And then Embiid would be the 5th for me over.
But Greer. I have to take that guy's word for it. But I can also say, all right, well, different game. And I know you have a certain feeling about load management. Because a lot of people do. I've gotten a lot of tweets about he'll never be the best load management, blah, blah, blah. It's part of the game. Let's go to Drees in North Philly. Drees, you're on the Fanatic.
Yo, what's up, Andrew?
What's up, Drees?
I heard your list earlier on the Philadelphia Aces. You forgot somebody from the Eagles.
Who?
McCoy.
Okay.
I think it's shady.
Okay, no, it's a good one. All-time leading rusher in Eagles history. Okay, yep, yeah, good one.
He did that only in 6 years. So I mean,
yeah, and it's funny you say that because yesterday Anthony and I were having a conversation about the best highlight reels we loved watching, and I had Shady as the guy for football because – his highlight reel is incredible, and it wasn't a once a game thing. Like, he did that a lot, the stuff that he could do behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, anytime he touched the ball, he goes for 20 yards easily. So, I mean, I know how you forgot McCoy, how you forgot Shady and everything. So I just want to put that out there that you forgot my guy Shady.
What about everyone else? Did I get everyone else right?
Yeah, everybody else is cool.
I was at a 93% clip. I'm sorry I missed one.
Yeah. No, you good, man.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Drees. Appreciate it. All right, my bad. Miss Shady.
Yeah, if you're going to put B West on there.
Yeah, I got to put Shady. No, he's right. I kind of did it on the fly, on the air, talking, producing, not producing, updates. You know, I missed one.
Yeah, well, Westbrook was part of that run where they went to a couple championship games and everything. Yeah, like, Shady.
My bad.
I mean, they didn't make deep playoff runs with Shady.
Well, Chip was an idiot.
Oh, yeah. He was.
Plain and simple. Like, DeSean Jackson should be on this list.
You're right. You know, you're absolutely right.
He should be on this list. Jamie and I over the weekend, because the DeSean Jackson news happened, what, Thursday or Friday? I think it was Friday. And Jamie and I talked about it. Where does he rank in terms of the best wide receivers of Eagles history? He should be number one if Chip Kelly and some moron in the media didn't put together a fake story. No.
Number one?
He should be number one. I will tell you. I have to do this. Okay. Eagles all-time receiving leaders. Do you know who's number one? I'm putting you on the spot here. Do you know who's number one? It'll probably shock you. It shouldn't, but it'll shock you.
Past the 2000s? He played in the 2000s?
Way earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then no.
Harold Carmichael.
Oh, yeah, that's who I would have gone. Why would that shock me? That would be my pick for
number
one.
Because from 1971 to 1983, football is nowhere near it is now.
Yeah, but the dude was a monster.
I understand that. But today's league, like, here's the problem. Your top 10 for all-time receiving leaders, Harold Carmichael, not the modern era. Pete Retzlaff, not the modern era. DeSean Jackson, 6,500 yards, should have had a lot more if Chip Kelly wasn't an idiot. Mike Quick, not the modern era. Zach Ertz, tight end. P-Host, not modern era. Tommy McDonald. Bobby Walston. Brent Celek, another tight end. You have three tight ends here.
Yeah, that's an issue.
And Jeremy Maclin at number 10, who played here for like 5 seconds.
Think the fact that Maclin is
10th, top 10. 10th all time is receiving wild. Leader, receiving yards for the Eagles. Now, again, it's not a direct shot at Harold Carmichael. What I'm saying is, A, that shows you how elite of a player he was in his era, and it's travesty that it took so long for him to get in the Hall of Fame. Like, he should have gotten in right away because those numbers are ridiculous for that era. But today's era, I mean, there's probably going to be 10,000 yard receivers that you're going to go, oh, he wasn't all that great. Like, he was good.
That's fair. And the Eagles haven't had that guy outside. Like, DeSean, compared to those guys who just rack up 10,000 yards like it's nothing, now should have more as a bird. It makes sense. Now, you're right. You have a strong argument there.
I mean, here you go. I'll give you the active receiving leaders. All right, here are your top 10. He played in the league 13 years. Greg Olsen's number 10. T.Y. Hilton. Love T.Y. Hilton, but does T.Y. Hilton strike you as all-time receiver?
No, not at all. These are the top 10 active right now?
He's nearing 10,000 yards. He's 9,360. A.J. Green, who's been hurt for the last 15 seasons. Demaryius Thomas, I don't know. He's active.
Wait, where are you getting this list? Yeah, because Greg Olsen retired.
Pro Football Reference.
And Fitzgerald's still in the league.
Yeah, he's number one.
Where's Fitz?
I'm going top 10. He's okay. Number one. DeAndre Hopkins, 6. But think about that. He's already 6. He's played 7 seasons. Yeah. DeSean, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Jason Witten, who just retired. It's the 2020 season.
Okay.
And then Fitzgerald at number one. But there's going to be guys that reach 10,000, like Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
He's at 8,600 right now. He's going to reach 10,000.
Hey, he's a nice receiver, but he's
exactly.
Not like a...
That's what I'm saying. You're going, oh, okay. He has 8,600 yards, Emmanuel Sanders, whereas Harold Carmichael has 89.
Yeah, you got an argument there.
Like, but that shows how much of a travesty it is, Eagles receivers, and how bad they've been. At selecting these guys, and DeSean should have been here longer. He should be number one. He should be the top receiver in Eagles history.
Okay. Yeah. When you break it down, no.
If they didn't get rid of him because of a stupid story, he should have been here. Let's go to Chris in Jenkintown. Chris, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Chris.
Andrew.
What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Hello.
Hey, listen. Yeah, how you doing? Anthony okay today?
Yeah, he'll be back on Thursday.
Okay, listen.
Plan time
off. I don't want to blow holes in. I'm 61, by the way.
Okay.
Lifelong Philly fan. Okay. So anyway, I respect, you know, you're 27. I respect you seeing what MB's doing. It's unbelievable.
Incredible.
Look at the sample size. What's it been, 3 months? I mean,
he's had a pretty damn good career so far.
Guy has a history of getting hurt. I hope he never gets hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Sixers. But, you know, to say that he's going to all time, I mean, I can think of 7 or 8 guys on the Sixers.
Okay, did you hear my question, though? Could he be?
Please tell me.
Could he be? I'm not saying he is right now. Iverson's still...
Absolutely could it be. He's got talent.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're saying, I have 6 or 7 guys that are... Yeah, you're probably right. I'm just saying, could this guy... He's only played 5 seasons.
Here's the thing. And you also said about the travel, about these guys only went to Minnesota.
That was the caller that brought that up.
Okay. A lot of times these guys are taking the bus.
Yeah. No, you know, you're right.
These guys got private planes.
Oh, yeah.
And then one more thing before I go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a ball, you know, busser.
No, I just want to be clear that I'm not saying he's the best all time. I'm not saying he's the best of my generation. I still say Iverson's number one, but I think Embiid could get to that spot.
Absolutely.
And I didn't bring up the travel. That was a call.
Absolutely. And I'm just putting names out there that I grew up watching, like Billy Cunningham,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Andrew Toney, and of course Cheeks and all them guys. I mean, you know, he has a chance. There's no question about that. Another thing about the Sixers, about getting like Beal,
yeah.
or the guy from Toronto. I mean, I hear a lot of talk about that, but who do they got to get these guys for?
I mean, it would have to be a pick. Tyrese Maxey would most likely be involved in a deal. The question is, does a guy like Matisse Thybulle, do they want to get rid of him because he could be an asset for you come playoff time with his defense?
So you're saying a pick and two guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it could possibly be. Now, the thing is with Kyle Lowry, and Tyrone brought this up yesterday, Kyle Lowry's making $30-plus million this year, so you'd have to do something when in terms of money. So, like, a guy like Danny Green could possibly be in a deal.
So is Beal, right? Beal makes over 30,
yeah,
right?
Beal makes a lot of money. That's going to be an interesting one, and I heard Shaq, and I appreciate the call, Chris. Enjoy the rest of your day. Shaq brought up Bradley Beal, and he said it's not going to take much because he's unhappy and he can find his way out. James Harden was unhappy. James Harden won his way out. The Houston Rockets still got like 3 first-round picks and 5 players. So, I, with all due respect to Shaq, it's still going to cost a lot to get Bradley Beal. So I don't think the Sixers can get him for Maxey and a pick and Mike Scott, right? Like, I just don't think that is the case. So, you know, there's that. 610-632-0975. First time all show, we have a couple open lines. I'll reset everything we got coming up at 12:30, but the Embiid conversation has taken over the show. And the Embiid conversation is whether or not he could be the best player of my generation for the Sixers, but for many generations. And in terms of Philadelphia altogether, where does he rank in terms of your generation's athletes? Now, obviously 27 years old is a lot different than 60 years old. You've seen a lot more. You've seen championships. I've seen few. I saw a Super Bowl and I saw a World Series. I saw teams come close. But one of those teams was the 2001 Philadelphia 76ers, and except for Iverson, that team kind of stunk. So like, I can tell you with honesty that Joel Embiid, if he's not the best player on the 2001 team, he's the second best. Like, the rest of that team stinks. So it's easy for me to look at this list that I've written down and be able to say that Embiid is definitely top 10. And could he be top 5? Maybe we'll rank these coming up, Connor. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Don't worry, cuz we'll be back on Thursday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
12:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cuz. We got two open lines right now. You can grab them at 610-632-0975. So I was just talking to Connor during the break. We got a couple of other stuff that we want to get into today. We still have that snow, post-snow conversation that we need to have. I got something on Chinese food that I'm going to bring up. But I'm really excited. Yesterday, the wife and I made the investment for the Sunday ticket plan for the Phillies this year. It's 9 games. How many did you say you did? 16?
I got 16 2 years ago.
So they don't have a specific plan. It's just 9 games. That's what I see, you know, for all I know.
Nine games is better than none.
Oh, damn. There's a more events tab. Oh, it's more than, yeah. It's 16.
There you go.
No, 14.
Oh, okay.
14. Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
Look at that. Oh, you got a couple extra games in there.
Yes.
Come on. More ball games.
I'm even more excited. Wow. You just heard my actual real excitement live on the air there. Wow. That's awesome. Okay. I'm an idiot. I'm so.
What's going on with you today?
I'm so technologically dysfunctional. I'm not good with technology. I didn't see the show more. I can't see. I'm blind, but whatever. But the Sunday plan this year. Now, we got the 400 level, right? So I think it was 280 a pop. Good games, though. You get the Braves twice, early in April and then in July. So a double Braves, that's good to have. Cardinals, Mets will be entertaining.
Cardinals with Arenado now, too.
Yep.
So that's a good one.
Cardinals, two Mets this year, one in May, one in August. And they're going to be better this year. Red Sox might stink, but it's still Boston.
Yeah.
Nationals will be better this year. Yankees. So you get the three games where those awful New York fans come into the city. They're the worst. Padres, which we know are going to be fun to watch.
They're stacked.
The Marlins, who it's not as bad as there was the time when my father and I did the partial ticket plan in that run of 08. And through 11. We started in 03, final year at the vet, but did that stretch. There's nothing worse than seeing the amount of Marlins games you had on the 17 game plan, and there's like four, and you're like, gonna watch like LeVon Hernandez pitch. And if the Phillies lose, you're even more angry than any other game. And if they win, you're like, that was a nice
time. Yeah, there's no, it's a lose.
It was a nice time at the ballpark, I guess. The Reds, which they should be fine. I know they're selling everyone off, but they're also good at having a farm system, unlike the Phillies.
They'll still probably have Votto, so.
Yeah. D-backs, Rockies, and Pirates. Pirates would be the worst team of that group, but I'm looking forward to it. The Sunday ticket plan.
It's a good slate of games. Might have to look into one of those.
Will be more entertaining this year. They should have been more entertaining last year. The bullpen was awful. And it was also a 60-game season. Like, that season was weird.
See, they were entertaining from the first to about the sixth inning.
Yes, good point. Good point. This year, it should be totally different, and I can't wait, man. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get down to that ballpark. That was one of the things I missed the most last year. I talked about it at length. I didn't care if there was no fans in the stands. I just wanted to watch sports. But going to the ballpark during the summer and boozing up before and during and after, missed that. And then I also miss Sixers game at the Wells Fargo Center. Those, to me, are the two things I miss the most.
Dude, it's a tragedy that 50-point game did not have fans at it.
Yeah, that place would have been going crazy.
That would have been one of the loudest moments in probably the past, decade?
Probably.
Like, that would have been unbelievable.
Yeah, probably. I miss that a lot, so I'm looking forward to it. And Madden CFM tweets in, a 27-year-old boomer when it comes to technology. Yes. That's true. I know nothing. Like, it's crazy because I work in radio. So I have to know things. Or I have to know the board. I have to know Zeta, which is our programming system for commercials and all that stuff. I sound like an old man saying programming system.
Yeah.
Like,
The old.
The thing. I have to learn how to play the audio. I have to learn how to cut audio. But that's all I know. You had to show me.
You know what you're required to know. Yes. And then anything outside of that that isn't directly related to your job. You're like, I had to show you how to use your new phone.
Yeah, when I got the iPhone 11, you had to show me how to turn the flashlight on because it was different than the old phone. And my dad always asked me, hey, Andrew, can you show me how to... No. Because
I don't know either, Pop. I'm sorry.
I don't know. And he ends up figuring it out, and I don't. So I'm pretty bad with that stuff. Let's go back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Aaron in West Philly. What's up, Aaron?
Andrew.
How are you,
what's up, man? You know I got your back, turkey bacon eating man.
Damn right, man. Damn right.
Hey, man, I don't know whether to cry this today, man, because it was so sad sometimes looking at Philadelphia sports that we don't have some of the greats, man, like the greats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's part of the conversation, Aaron. It's, I mean, my generation of 27 years and fellow 27-year-olds or 30-year-olds, like, there were a lot of good players. Don't get me wrong. I saw a World Series, and I saw a good run from the Phillies. There was a Super Bowl. But when I go Embiid v. Brandon Graham, you probably go Embiid, right? And Brandon Graham was a big part of that Super Bowl team.
Right. See, this is my point. Iverson in basketball for the Sixers, to me, is number one.
Okay.
Okay? He's number one. And I'm going to shock you now. Embiid is number two.
Oh, and
I'm 54 years old.
Yeah,
bro.
So you've seen like Moses. You've seen Doc.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem with this. We've seen, you know, we ain't see everybody in their prime. Right? I didn't see Doc basically in his prime. I didn't see Moses basically in a prime. You know what I mean? They were great players in other teams. I'm talking about Philadelphia itself. You see what I'm saying?
What they did
in Philadelphia. And what Embiid is doing and what nobody's talking about, he's one of the greatest defensive players we had.
Yeah, and you're so watching the growth with your own eyes in his prime. I guess this is one of the prime is what I would guess for Embiid.
You're right. So you're looking at him coming in his prime. We've seen Allen Iverson all in his prime. We know what he could do. But looking at Embiid, man, he got everything that you want in a big man. He could shoot it. He could come inside. He got Euro steps. He got backup moves. He got all kinds of stuff, man. He's impressive. He's going to be one of the greatest.
And that's why it's not a long list, though.
It's not a long list.
Where do you have him with Chuck? Charles Barkley.
Hey, man, I love Charles. Charles is number three to me.
Okay.
You know how my feeling with Doc. You know my feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I remember going off the radio. Yeah, you brought it off once. I remember. Yeah.
I'm not because Doc didn't. You know, all parts of his game didn't really do it for me. You know what I mean? You have to do more than just dunk. You have to do more than just excite the fans. Yeah,
Anthony told me he had a hit out for you after that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because he's just a homer. And don't look at the whole thing. See, I look at the whole picture as I got older. I just look at the whole picture, man. I talked to that in my church, and people looked at me like I was crazy. I think he's overrated. But I think he's overrated. Where is he at in top five? Is he top five?
All time? No.
No. Is he top 10?
No.
No. See, overrated. If you're not in a top 10 category,
top 20,
you know,
top 25 is
top 20.
There's been a lot of ball over the years, Aaron.
I'll give him that.
You can't go overrated.
And 25, yeah, he's a great player. I ain't going to take it.
I was hurt.
See, when you get hurt as a Philadelphia fan, you just scarred for a little bit through life. And I was hurt with Doc, man.
Okay.
And he told us the oldest one, and it took so long, and Moses came and saved us. You know what I mean? Because we wouldn't have won the championship without Moses Malone there.
Right.
And we'd have still been just having one. So, you know, man, I got deep wounds, man, psychologically. So, you know, it's got to help me out. And Anthony don't, because he likes to beat us up.
He's a lover. He's not a fighter, Aaron. I appreciate the call, even though I've taken a few punches. Nah, he's a lover, not a fighter. By the way, so we didn't do a poll with, you know, the numbers and the percentages and all that. We did a write-in poll today. In the poll of the day, brought to you by Marvin Ecans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin Ecans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcans.com. On the midday account, we put out the following. Could Embiid be not only the best Sixers player you've ever seen, but the best athlete to play for Philadelphia? Again, that you've seen with your eyes. So I'm asking all generations here, and And one from Michael A. Burns. He goes, possibly yes, likely no. I'm 54, and Reggie White was the best athlete I ever saw. So he's definitely on the list. Mike Schmidt was better. Steve Carlton, Dr. J, Bernie Parent, and Moses might have been better too. I'll take him over Iverson. Lindros might have been better, but he was too injured. Well, I mean, that goes into it. Embiid, this conversation could end. I'm not going to say. Don't even dare. You're right. I stopped myself. You're my witness.
You did. You didn't say it, but you got a little close for comfort.
I did. I'm not going to say it, but you guys might understand where I was going. Conversation could end, but it's not going to. We don't have to worry about the
There's not enough wood in the world to knock on.
Yeah, I know.
To put that one away.
I know. But that was one. Sixers Nation, a great Twitter account, PHL Sixers Nation. They do a fantastic job. They responded with, you could make a case that Wilt is the greatest ever play. Yeah, true. Dr. J and Moses both brought a chip home. Allen Iverson won an MVP, carried us to the finals. Embiid's career isn't over yet. Let's just enjoy all the greats. Yeah, I'm not saying let's badmouth Dr. J. No, my man Aaron's saying he's overrated. I'm not saying let's badmouth the others to make one seem better than the other. I'm not doing that. What I don't understand is the badmouthing of Embiid.
Right. And you know what I hate? I absolutely hate this with sports.
Okay.
Is when someone looks at a great player, and you'll have two camps. You'll have people who look at him and are like, wow, he has the potential to be an all-time great to play the sport. And then you'll have a couple people who will say, oh, well, don't jump the gun. Just enjoy him while he's playing now. Like, just let him play and see where he ends up. No, part of the fun of having these guys
yes.
is in their career realizing what they're becoming. If you're sitting there, I used to have a roommate who used to say, oh, Mike Trout is going to be one of the greats to ever play baseball. How cool is it that he's from around here?
And we're watching.
And everything, and we're watching him now. And he's like, oh, well, just let him finish out his career, see where he ends up.
People are saying that?
Yeah, well, this one person. There's other people who say it about athletes now, like let the career breathe and everything. No, some of the excitement of sport and having a guy this transcendent is seeing where they're going and understanding what you're watching in its time. Like, there's nothing wrong with projecting him to do this. Like, enjoy all of the greats. No, this is an awesome conversation to be able to have.
Yeah.
Because we don't get this ever.
Oh, well, he's got to stay healthy. Yes, he does have to stay healthy. And yes, he has to continue to play through whenever he's tired. But again, I'll make the case that he's not the one calling the load management shots. Right? So, yeah, you know what? Load management wasn't there 25 years ago. But it is now, and this might help him be even better. Chris Sims responds, no, greatest Sixer ever is Dr. J, then probably Iverson. Barkley says the potential is there, though. He's not saying it's done. There's no way, like a lot of people are. He says, as for Philly, I wouldn't put him higher than Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Bobby Clark.
The Chris Sims? Because I've heard some of his football takes, and they're not great.
No, not that. Not the Chris Sims. I would want to know from Chris Sims this one, where's Howard on this list? You can't have Utley Rollins not have Howard.
No, absolutely not.
Howard greater than both Rollins Utley. My ranking, Howard Rollins Utley, Utley three.
Howard had a better peak. Much better peak than the other two. But
chance of making the Hall of
Rollins
Fame.
Rollins was also an MVP.
Chance and Utley of making the Hall of Fame, Rollins Utley Howard.
Right. Huh. So why do you it's just personal preference. You have Howard above.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
You're not winning without Ryan Howard in 08. Or you're 06, 07, 08, 09, 10. You're not winning without Ryan Howard.
Right. He was the linchpin of that lineup.
Yeah. So that's why I go.
No, you're.
I'm not saying you've got a fair won without there. Rollins or without Utley, but you for sure would not have won without Ryan Howard.
Because I don't know if I really want to go down this path. Like Rollins and Utley, and Rollins was an MVP. I'm not taking anything away from them at all. Mm-hmm. They're great, great baseball players. Some of the greatest to ever play in Philly. But what they did statistically, especially in 08, you could find pieces to kind of do that. There wasn't another, like there wasn't a guy power hitting like Ryan Howard when he was at his peak.
Yeah. Then.
Like it would be easier to find two guys to hit for average and can field a little bit, and they could field more than a little bit. This is why I'm being so careful. But Howard was the guy that was harder to replace of the three of them for that run.
Okay. And I'll just say this. 07, Chase Utley missed a lot of time. Tadahito Oguchi played really well. 45 games, bad 300.
Well, I'm just Can't be putting Noguchi in the same camp.
No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is if Ryan Howard goes down, you're not winning games.
Right. You don't have someone else to plug into the four hole to just...
Tanahito Noguchi is nowhere near the player Chase Utley was. But with Ryan Howard,
but they didn't collapse without him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. No, you're right. And that's the point that I was originally making.
We're all being careful here. We don't think that you win the World Series with Tadahito Noguchi. But what I'm saying is without Ryan Howard, which is why he's number one, no shot. Michael on City Ave. What's up, Michael?
Yo, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, yeah, so about that best Philly athlete conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm 25, so I think I'm in the same boat with you guys.
Yeah.
AI, without a doubt, best Philly athlete I've ever seen. But I feel like Embiid is a lot closer than people are giving him credit for. I feel like if Embiid gets an MVP this year, which I think is very likely, and even more so if he just brings the Sixers out of the East just once, I feel like he's automatically tops AI, for at least for my generation, because he's doing it as a seven-footer in today's NBA, which is a lot harder. Like, guards, like, for like AI being a guard and winning MVP, like, guards win MVP all the time. Being a seven-footer in 2021, winning the MVP, and getting the Sixers out of the East.
And doing the stuff that he does, right? He's not the the old school seven footer that just puts his butt down low.
He's not banging every time.
He's hitting threes. He's when Simmons is out, he's stepping out the top of the key. He's getting eight assists in a game. He's incredible.
Exactly. I think I was watching the game sometime last week, and I forget who was, I don't know if it was an ESPN game or not, but they said he had the best mid-range percentage in the NBA as a seven-footer. I don't know if that's still the case now. But I'm like how? Like, how is a seven-footer shooting the best at mid-range in the NBA? And then aside from that, about potential trades for the Sixers, I don't feel like you need to go all out. As much as I would like to have a guy like Zach LaVine on the squad, mm-hmm. I don't feel like you need that much to get out of the East. I'm thinking of a guy like Malik Beasley from the T-Wolves. Mm-hmm. They just fired their coach.
Only problem is he's a scorer that could help you out off the bench. He's not a consistent enough 3-point shooter, and that's my biggest problem.
Over like Danny.
Well, I mean, he is an improvement over Danny, but so Danny Green's now coming off the bench for you, or if he's involved in the trade.
I think Danny would have to be involved in the trade, money-wise. Okay. And then another guy is he's not as high on my radar as Malik Beasley, but a guy like Terrence Ross, who's also, he's a veteran.
Terrence Ross would be fantastic because he can hit the three ball for you, Michael, and I appreciate the call. I mean, Malik Beasley, let's see, I think he's shooting, I think he's below league average right now from beyond the arc. And he's having a great season. He's averaging 20 a game right now, which would that be great. So he's shooting. Oh, he's up to 39 now. He started off slow. He's up to 39. He shot 32 his first year, 34 his second. So he's up to 39%.
Yeah, and I'd rather look at the percentages for him than what he's averaging because that team is just a dumpster fire. Just fired a head coach.
He's
up there.
To 39. I'll give him that. So here's the only thing with Malik Beasley is, all right, he is a guy, high-volume guy. That's the other problem. So you have him in the starting lineup. Michael was just saying Malik's in the starting lineup. So now you got Ben, who we know needs the ball in his hand to be able to create things. And Embiid, obviously. Tobias Harris, let's face it, is perfect. Because I'm not saying he's timid, but he's okay with saying, all right, go to work, Joe. And then when you're on the bench and I'm with the second unit, I'll get mine.
Yeah, not to get too far off topic, but what a turnaround for the perspective on Tobias Harris.
Yeah, people were already running out of time.
Crazy. The fit works so well with this offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fantastic. So, Tyrone, Malik Beasley, yes or no? No. All right, I thought so. Too much of a volume guy, needs the ball. Yep, all right, thank you. So, I turned to Tyrone for the...
Ty's saying because of his deal with Mrs. Pippen.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, we don't need that here. You know he'd go for Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought so. Let's go to Sean in Newark. Sean, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, really enjoying the conversation this morning. I've been working, so I had to hang up a couple of times and then called back.
That's fine. Thanks for calling back, man. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm 58.
You're not old.
I've seen all of these Sixers, except Wilt,
But I did see Wilt when he was on the Lakers, and I was a huge Wilt fan, so I researched all the older stuff. So I'm kind of familiar with everybody. And mm-hmm. if I had to do my Sixers all-time top five only based on their productivity while you're on the Sixers. In other words, like, for instance, Barkley won an MVP with Phoenix.
Right, whatever.
Doc won three of them in the ABA and, you know, or two of them and a couple championships, you know, but they don't count. Just on Sixers production, I think you got to go with Wilt, Doc, Moses, AI, Charles. And I would base it first Wilt because he won three consecutive Most Valuable Player awards and a championship with the best record in NBA history while he was on the Sixers. That's pretty tough to beat. Doc won an MVP award, had four finals appearances and a championship. So, you know, like even before they got Moses, he took the final three different times out of an MVP.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I'll give that. So that's what I'm saying. I'll take, well, on the Moses one, you're right. You needed Moses to get that final.
No, but that's not disrespect. I'm not saying that's disrespectful to Dr. J.
You're just being factually correct. Yeah. I understand. But he did take the team to three different finals without Moses and won an MVP. You know, so clearly Doc, you know, was a pretty damn good player as a lead guy himself. Moses, one MVP, one chip. AI, one MVP and a finals appearance. And then Charles with zero MVPs and zero chips, but he was, you know, really dominant. I mean, he did, you know, he won an MVP and got to the finals the very next year as soon as he went to Phoenix. One thing I want to say about younger people that don't appreciate like Doc and Moses and Wilt. I mean, to give you an idea, people see all these people listed as 7 foot, and they just mm-hmm. don't realize how big, like, Wilt and Kareem really were and how much that makes them dominate. You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at age 39, was first-team All-NBA over Hakeem Olajuwon and dropped 46 points in 33 minutes, the only time they ever tried to let Hakeem guard Kareem one-on-one. And that's Kareem at 39. Could you imagine what he would have did if he was 24?
Yeah, nobody could defend that shot.
Right. You know, maybe except Wilt. A young Wilt could.
Right.
But, and as far as Wilt, people don't realize how big he is. Like, the NBA, all these heights are exaggerated. Like Joel Embiid, you know, everyone says he's like 7'2 and different things. He was officially measured
without shoes
for the first time by the NBA.
Or something like that.
Yeah, he isn't even 7 foot, which is incredible because he's bigger than just about everybody in the NBA.
So you're saying what he's doing at 6'11 and three quarters is not as impressive because he's not 7'2"?
No, I'm not saying that at all. No, I was just trying to use that as an analogy to show how big Wilt was, because Wilt is an inch and a half taller than Joel Embiid.
Okay.
And Look magazine, when he was 21 years old, it's a national publication, they tried to document his vertical leap.
Uh-huh.
And they measured him at 9'6", and you can find it on the web. It's like published. It was in the magazine. They said young Wilt Chamberlain, he was 21 years old. They said when he stands, he's 9'6" off the ground.
Yeah, that's not true. He wouldn't be able to play basketball. His heart wouldn't work. You can't be that tall. I appreciate your love for Wilt Chamberlain. And that's why, from the very beginning, I've said I am not disrespecting any other generation.
So laying on a table, Tyrone's saying that Wilt would be 7'1", so like a quarter inch taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not. I'm just saying that he would be a quarter inch taller.
Yeah.
And note that we don't know what they actually measured Embiid at. Like, of all the things to pick on, Embiid's height... Come on, old school.
Yeah.
You are failing today, old school.
And that's the problem. Right? Because I'm trying to be as respectful as possible to the older generation because I didn't see these guys. But you can't tell me Wilt Chamberlain, or you can't tell me, sorry, Joel Embiid, it's we overappreciate him because he's only 6'11 and three quarters and does things that a 6 foot guard does. I can then turn this around and say, well, look at what Bradley Beal does, and look what Joel Embiid does. Embiid does it 11 inches taller. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew South Judas, filling in for the Cubs right here on The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cuz today and tomorrow. Anthony will be back on Thursday. Just had to take care of a few things, but he will be back. Coming up in about 10 minutes at 1:10, Barrett Brooks will join the show. It's been a big, heavy Sixers day, but would love to hear from Barrett about the Carson Wentz saga, because that's obviously still going to be a big topic of conversation every single day on the airwaves in some light right now. Earlier, before the Embiid conversation really took over, I opened the show with putting myself on the couch and needing to have you be my therapist, and Connor and everybody who called in. And I've been one of the leaders of the Fire Howie Roseman campaign and hating everything that he's done since 2017, post Super Bowl, obviously. But he, even that draft, that 2017 draft was awful. Like, okay, so even that Super Bowl year, his draft was terrible. Howie Roseman, all the contracts, you name it. And I had to put myself on the couch today and ask you, is it getting to the point where I'm going so far with the Howie hate that it almost seems like I'm not appreciative of what he did in 2017. Tyrone's shaking his head adamantly in there. But Connor did say it kind of comes off of it, comes off that a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. Now, very first call of the day was really the only one that touched on the Howie front. And he said, keep fighting a good fight.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't want to act like I'm defending Howie's work after the Super Bowl. Like, if anything, you could say, like, his work since to tear the franchise down kind of evens out what he did to win the Super Bowl. But what you can't do, you can't pull the, oh, it was Chip Kelly's team anyway. Like, that's not fair to the man. Now, what you can say is you can say that, yeah, he did a great job putting the Super Bowl together, and then he completely threw it all out the window over the next 3 years and put this franchise into the darkest spot it's been in maybe 20 years. But you can't say it was Chip Kelly's team. You can't retroactively take away the moves
he put
in. Some
of it was Andy's players. Some of it was Chip's players. He made the final moves.
He got both of the quarterbacks.
Listen, Ed Wade doesn't get the love he deserves. Ron Hextall will not get the love he deserves. Just saying. Okay. Sam Hinkie will get the love that he deserves. Because people, people are crazy. Wow. No, he won't.
He'll get some.
There's a damn poster.
He'll get some.
In the
It'll be the minority.
What are you talking
It'll
about?
It'll be the minority.
There's people Come that on. Worship at the altar of Sam Hinkie. What do you mean, no, he won't? I'm sure there's somebody out there with the Sam Hinkie tattoo. I will.
Yeah, there is.
I'll put the over.
There's a lot of stupid tattoos out there.
13 and a half over under Sam Hinkie tattoos. Anyway, it could be his face, could be his name. Over under 13 and a half.
I'll take the under.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's over. He'll still get love. Rocco still gets love.
He'll get
I saw
love.
Him get completely burnt by Devin Booker. Told you, 130 daily number. Told you to take the over in Devin Booker yesterday and the over in the Suns game. Bang, bang. Devin Booker one-on-one with Robert Covington was just a complete comedy. Just blew right past him. Rocco.
Oh, he's good at deflections.
I hate you guys. Let's go to John in Drexel Hill. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, Andrew. Good show. Enjoying the conversation
today. Does Rocco come at number one at greatest Sixers all time?
Who?
Robert Covington. He's number one, right?
No, he was actually a good player, but I'm glad they he moved on, and he can hit the three every once in a while.
He stunk.
But, I'm glad he moved on. Listen, I wanted to talk to you. I think you're right on with Joel Embiid. The book is not out on him,
right?
But he is so talented, and but a couple. It seems this year he's maturing, and whereas last year I think he was a little mature. But injury is going to have a lot to do with it, and he has to be consistent. You know, he's just beginning.
Well, he's been consistent this year.
Absolutely, he has.
But he had a down night the other night and got 25 points and 17 rebounds.
Yeah, there's no question. There's no question. I'm agreeing, but he has to be just keep being consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right. And now the NBA, I'm not quite sure with other team centers, but it doesn't seem to be a center oriented league right now. Right, there's not a whole lot of great centers like Kareem and Will.
Yeah, I mean it's a different league now. It's more of an outside league. The guys that it's Embiid, it's Jokic, Anthony Davis, and then like a guy like Rudy Gobert is mainly known for his defense.
Right. Whenever last year or 2 years ago when Embiid played Horford, Horford took him to school. I want to see how he does against really good centers, you know, the rest of the way, where, you know, he's got it pumped up for really good centers. And I look back, and I'm 59, and I look at players like Moses Malone. Mm-hmm. Malone was a pit bull. He was an absolute animal underneath the board.
And he was 6'8".
He was only 6'. No, Moses was 6'10".
Oh, sorry.
And, he was 6'10", where Wes Unseld was another bull, but he was 6'8", Wes Unseld. And that's even before Moses. But, to compare him with those guys, I wish Embiid had a little bit more of a killer instinct that Moses had.
He's got the ball in his hands at the end of every game nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's got that killer instinct. He wants the ball in his hands all the time.
Yeah, he's getting there, but I'm talking about the real killer instinct, like Moses underneath the board.
What do you want, 20 rebounds a game?
Well, no. I'm just talking about we're comparing him to people in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah, and the game's a little different.
It's a lot different. But here's what I wanted to say, and where I love basketball, I love football, the Eagles, and baseball, the Phils. But really, the best athletes, man, how about the hockey players? How about guys
when I say athlete, I don't mean it the literal term, John. I appreciate the call. Like, I don't mean, somebody tweeted in earlier, and I responded to him basically with the same thing. He was like, Michael Vick was a better athlete. That's not what I meant. I mean, player, because I, athlete to ever play. I didn't want to do player to ever play. I don't like the double word there in a couple.
Right, you can list 100 names that are more athletic than Tom Brady.
I mean, exactly. When I say athlete, you guys should know what I mean.
Right.
Yes, hockey players are outrageous. I would probably be crying after 3 minutes on the ice. You know.
You can't skate at all?
No. Soccer players, probably better athletes than, they run constantly. But I'm not using athlete as the literal term. Got Barrett Brooks coming up in a few minutes. Let's go to Brad in Philly. Brad, you're on the Fanatic. Hey, Brad.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm calling because, just to touch on the Eagles. My point is with Toby, but to touch on the Eagles, I mean, fire Howie, because just like you can't choose players, you need somebody to delegate as a good manager. And you need to delegate your drafting skills to somebody who knows how to draft. But I don't want to get, too far on that. So, I feel like comparing the generations of players is like music. You can't have the old school music without the today.
Mm-hmm.
Players learn from, like LeBron learned from Jordan. Jordan learned from the greats. Wilt has moves that Embiid will use, just like from Olajuwon. So you kind of, with the greatest athlete of Philly, it's like Wilt generation, Moses, then AI is my favorite because that's my generation. But Embiid has the most upside to take over all of those, players. And I just want to say, we're not giving enough credit to the coaching staff. I mean, you figure Toby was great as a Clipper, medium range, and that's why we got him. And then when he came here, he was eh. But when Doc came back,
it didn't work with him and Butler. That was big. And then last year in the playoffs, he disappeared, but Ben Simmons wasn't there. And Ben Simmons obviously helped set up Tobias Harris a lot. But yeah, I mean, I will go with you there, though. The Doc Rivers, hey, Brett Brown's not a good head coach. Let's just be real. Doc Rivers is a good head coach.
Yeah, but Doc also, I feel like he's gotten a chance to give Embiid maybe that mental talk. Where it's like, it's your show, go get it. Toby, you can be doing way better than you are right now.
Maybe he's doing it with Simmons now too, Brad, and I appreciate the call. And that's what a lot of people were saying. That's what I was saying before the season started. I didn't want to move on from trade Ben, he will never win with Embiid, blah, blah, blah. I didn't want to do that because I wanted to see how it would have looked with Doc Rivers as the head coach. Now, admittedly, as you guys know, I was very hard on Ben Simmons early in the season. I almost kind of gave up. I was ready to move on from him for James Harden because I thought James Harden and boom, Joel Embiid, that's a good combination. I think you have a championship window that's wide open. But we're seeing Ben Simmons really start to become more and more aggressive and really start attacking the rim and the net a lot more. And that's what we've been begging to see. I'm not crazy to have been tired of begging for something for 4 years and not seeing it when we know it's there. We finally see it. We're going to step aside from the Eagles conversation for a second. We're going to head to the Comcast Business Hotline. Don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. And I've been looking forward to this all day long because it feels like it's been a decade since these days when I used to produce this man on Saturday mornings with the great Devon Givens. We're heading to that Comcast Business Hotline to talk to the great Barrett Brooks. What's up, Barrett? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. How's it going, bro?
It's going good. I'm a lot better because I get to talk to you right now for a few minutes.
I appreciate it, man. But I mean, you're absolutely right on that with Ben, man. I mean, I agree with it, man. You see this production, you see how aggressive he's gotten. You see how he started to take control when he can. I mean, that he could do that every game if he wanted to. Why does he have to be put in a position where he has to in order for him to do it? Imagine if he comes out like that, then you have Harris playing as good as he played, you know, a couple weeks ago, and then with Embiid. Now we have a big three. Now we can compete with anybody in the league.
And now you're not depending on depending on 35 minutes of Embiid of being dominant. Maybe Simmons is the guy that has 10 in the first quarter, so then Embiid can turn it on in quarters 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Then we don't have to rely that much on Green and Curry having to drop dimes like that throughout the game. Yep. You know, maybe then, you know, we can rely on, you know, defense and then being able to go out there and score when we want to. You know, now when you drive to the bucket, you can kick it out to Seth and kick it out to Green, you know, as opposed to, you know, just come out there and just give me some aggressive play. Go out there and then take the total of the game. I mean, you know, if you do that, it takes that attention off the best player on the court, Embiid. Now they have to look, all right, we have to defend three people as opposed to just defending Embiid.
Exactly.
Man, come on, man. He should be playing a lot better than he's been playing.
See, I hope you guys didn't think I was just bringing on Barrett to talk football. No, I'm talking all kinds of things with Barrett. And I have the conversation that we've been having all day regarding Joel Embiid. I'll get to that in a little bit with you because you've been around Philly for a while, so I'm sure you can help answer this question for me. But let's go into the Carson Wentz and the Eagles saga that will not go away. People keep on saying, get over it. He's not here anymore. Well, you know what? If the Eagles play at 1 o'clock week one and the Colts are playing 4 o'clock and we have the ability to watch it, I'm sure we're going to be watching it. So, Barrett, right away, your first thoughts on the move and what happened? Like, what do you think ultimately happened where Carson Wentz and this Eagles breakup had to happen?
Well, you know, just to be honest, man, I would not have thought, I didn't think that this trade was going to happen, merely because you always follow the money when it comes to the NFL. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and you don't lose money like that. I mean, this is a historically bad trade simply because they have not been that much dead money in just one player ever. So now you got that dead money. Then you still have the dead money that you're about to let go. You already let you already let D-Jax go. Mm-hmm. You have to let Alshon go. They're going to let Malik Jackson go. Look how much money. That's almost $70 million that's going to be against your cap with dead money. So, I mean, how do you feel the team out there with that much dead money, man? I mean, and say what you want to say. Carson, when he was on this team, even, you know, last week, was still the best quarterback in the locker room, you know, and that's just because, you know, we haven't seen all that Hurts can do. I've seen what Carson do. I've seen his ability. I mean, he would not have played that bad for this season coming up. There's no way. He's a competitive guy. He wants to get better. He just has to learn. He has to listen. He couldn't self-correct. He probably saw the error of his ways, you know. So, I mean, he was just like in a position where he couldn't last year. I believe he would have saw it this year, and he played a lot better than he played now. Just because, you know, the pure fact that, you know, he's a competitor. He's definitely a competitor, man. So, but, all right, they pulled the trade off. They got a third round pick this year, which is almost demeaning, you know, as far as, you know, his value.
Yeah.
And then a probable second round that might be a probable first rounder. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know,
pennies on the dollar for what you had to give up years ago to get him and the money you gave up to get,
absolutely,
you know, the $128
absolutely.
Million, dollars, the dead money, you name it, it's a problem. Now, you brought up the dead money. I sort of went through it over the weekend. It looks like it could get up to $70 million. And then I look at a guy like Roddy McLeod, who's a $6 million dead cap hit. Is he a guy that will be back next year after his second ACL injury? Who knows? So it could go up to 76. But that was still, I still didn't mention some of the veterans on the team, some of the guys on the offensive line, some of the guys on the defensive line. Barrett, as a former player in the NFL, and you're a veteran on a team, do you start looking at this situation and you go,
hey, I'm going to ask for my release or a trade because I want to have another shot at winning one more time before I go?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to just be realistic about the situation. This team used to be a spot that free agents wanted to come. You know, it was the destination spot in the NFL. You could come here and be guaranteed to compete, not only in the division, but also compete, you know, in the NFL period. Well, that's no longer here now. You know, with the way this cap situation is and the way, you know, guys are playing, the guys that are going to be asked to play this year, they're not going to be competitive. So that, you know, notion that, you know, free agents are going to come here, it's just not going to be. I mean, look at the free agent that came here. You know, look at Alshon Jeffrey. When he became a free agent, he was the top wide receiver in free agency. He decided to come here for a song and a dance, wanting to prove that he's a better receiver and you know, forego the positive money he's going to get to come play with Carson Wentz. Well, that will no longer be here.
Right.
This is not a destination spot. This is no longer the gold standard of the NFL. So now this team has to really go out there and rely on coaching, rely on draft picks. And are you confident in the Eagles' ability to go out there and draft and coach guys at this point?
No, not when you're 0-5 in the last 5 years. No. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad, Barrett. So I want to put your mind in some of these players. I'll give you a list of players here. Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz, we already know is probably not going to be here. Rodney McLeod, Jason Kelsey, some of these veterans that have been here for a while. Huge dead cap hits, as we know. Are those guys, do you expect all of them to still be back here next year?
I really don't. I do expect that, they're not going to get rid of the guys on the defensive line. You know, Brandon Graham and you know, Fletcher Cox, I think they will be here. You know, just a simple fact, you know, they're still very talented, you know, and I heard a lot of people saying, you know, oh, we're going to let go of Fletcher Cox. It'd be like $16 million, with cap room. It doesn't matter. He's still a force. He's still a top three, top four defensive lineman in the league. You can't let that amount of talent go. As far as Brandon Graham, I think they're going to keep him just because he's a guy that can build a culture. You need guys in there who can help solidify that culture. So I think he'll be here also. Plus, he's Mr. Philadelphia, so they love him there. But, you know, guys like, you know, Derek Barnett, he's a guy that, you know, he didn't really prove consistently that he can stay healthy throughout the season. And he's up on it right now. You know, if they release him, that's $10 million that they can, you know, get away from this cap deficit. You know, there's a lot of, you know, moves that they have to evaluate. I mean, they don't have a lot of room to really bring in any free agents, and they have a lot of unproven commodities inside that locker room right now. So this is going to be a tough season for this Eagles team. Yeah. I don't see how they can go in and think they can compete, even when it's the weak division, because, I mean, if you look at the division, I mean, Dallas gets their quarterback back. Mm-hmm. You look at the Giants, they get Saquon Barkley back. I mean, they're going to be better. In Washington, they're a quarterback away from being a really good team with that defense that they have and the running game that they have.
Yeah, and you can only imagine.
There's no longer going to be a pushover division.
Yeah, Dallas will probably attack the defense this offseason. They got to lock up Dak Prescott. After that, you lock up the defense. Barrett, I brought it up a few weeks ago with Anthony. I got a scary, scary, scary dark feeling that the Dallas Cowboys, they could be in a running this year.
There's no question about that. You know, I mean, they're a defensive interior lineman away. Mm-hmm. I mean, we look at their secondary. They had a young secondary that started to play better, you know, towards the tail end of the season. They got receivers, you know, really good receivers, you know, and you know, they're like three deep at that position. The offensive line, they got to get a little more healthier, and they got to get a little younger. But they have everything that they need to be a really good team. And they're going to be a lot better than the Eagles this point. I almost threw it in my mouth.
Makes you feel sick. Man. Makes you Dallas? Feel sick. Yeah, I know. I hate it.
I hate talking about Dallas, but I have to be realistic on my evaluation of them. They're going to be good, man. Very good.
Yeah, I hate it. Follow Barrett on Twitter at @BBrooks72NBCS. Two more before I let you go. And one of them is about, well, public enemy number one for a lot of people, and that's Howie Roseman. I want to ask you, what's the feel like for a lot of these players in the locker room? I know he's the general manager. He helps cut the checks. He helps sign you, so you have to have a certain respect for him. But we heard Orlando Scandrick last year. I think it was more because it was Hot Take Radio or Hot Take TV. He ripped Howie Roseman. There's reports that Carson Wentz had no trust left in the front office. Is there going to be more and more that comes out eventually down the road, not when you're still on the team, not when you're still in the league, of sort of a distrust with Howie Roseman?
You know what? It's not necessarily a distrust for Howie Roseman, because if Howie Roseman gets you here, that means he believes in you. And 9 times out of 10, he's going to keep you around just to make sure he makes himself right.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to try to hang on to as many guys he have here and hopes that they will play good. You know, I mean, but a lot of the decisions that he's made are not right. So, you know, you talk about, you know, first round of 2 years ago, they picked up an offensive lineman. I mean, he may not see the field, man, you know, because he I don't know if he's tough enough to be out there and be a starter in the NFL at the left tackle position. You know, it's a problem when you're dealing with a GM that, you know, feels as though he's the smartest guy in the room. I mean, at times you have to look back and rely on people that know what they're talking about. And I don't think he does. I think he thinks that he can just make these decisions and they can go forward and everybody be cool with it and they're going to be great decisions. Well, they haven't been. You know, Danelle Pumphrey, a fourth rounder, never saw the field, not even on the team.
In a historic, you know, running back draft class, too.
Situations you can't get past. You can't get past those type of situations. But if you're on this team and he brought you in, he's going to do his damnedest to keep you there. And that's, you know, that's great for players there. But the players on the team know that they're not going to get better if these decisions that he's making keep going in this direction.
Yeah, I hear you. Last one for you, because you started the conversation with Ball. We'll end it. So I've been asking the audience today, depending on the age group, where you're at, I'm 27, so I talk about Joel Embiid. And there's two guys that are in the conversation for best sixer of my lifetime, Allen Iverson, Joel Embiid. That's pretty easy. I want to ask you, for you as a man who's been around the city, Joel Embiid, where does he rank for you along the guys like Dr. J and Charles Barkley, Iverson, all them?
Oh.
Could Embiid be the top near, like at some point down the road? Not right now, but at some point.
I believe that Embiid can be right along the lines, you know, even higher than Charles Barkley, simply because he has the ability. He's the type of force that could win you a championship. He has that ability. You know, get some more players around him, get some more shooters around him. He'll take care of the middle. He'll make sure that he's the most dominant force on the floor. He just needs a crowd around him that they can go out there and score consistently. You know, he could be ranked up there with, you know, because Allen Iverson, he did it, you know, by himself. But he never won a title. I really believe that Embiid's a strong enough force that he can win a title if you get some more players around him.
That's awesome, Barrett. Thanks, man. That's basically what I've been saying throughout the show, and we'll continue the conversation the rest of the way. Barrett, thanks as always for coming on, man. Looking forward to talking to you again.
Appreciate it, Drew. Have a good one.
There he is, Barrett Brooks on the Comcast Business Hotline. Don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Two open lines, 610-632-0975. We have the daily number coming up. We'll give you some picks. Anthony and I did pretty damn well yesterday. Hopefully, we can make you some more money today. Connor Thomas is sitting in my chair today. I'm in for Anthony. He'll be back on Thursday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking it until 2 o'clock. Mikey Miss back in the house. So you get Mike Misnelli, Tyrone Johnson, Natalie Eganoff coming your way at 2 o'clock. They will be joined by Keith Pompey at 4 o'clock. And by the way, I need to apologize because I missed out on doing this. Our 12 o'clock hour is brought to us by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Get 0% financing for 72 months and a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from Service First. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. I will make sure to hit that one tomorrow during the 12 o'clock hour. How's that sound, Connor?
Sounds great.
Okay, awesome. Normally, at this time, and we will continue to do it, we got two open lines right now. You can grab them at 610-632-0975. Frank, KM, Karate Mark, and Ramsey, you guys hang tight. It's time for a little daily number, a little pick segment. Did good yesterday. Somebody tweeted in, they hit a parlay with the picks that we gave out.
Okay, there you go.
Listen every day at 1:30. Gave you the Devin Booker and the Suns over yesterday, and somebody took it, parlayed it, bang, made a nice little cash.
And I'll say, when I sat in for you when Anthony was out on the snow day.
Oh, we were outrageous.
I think we hit like six or seven or something.
Yeah. I think we missed one yesterday, that time.
Hopefully another good day here.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll start with the NBA. I'm looking at the Atlanta Hawks. They are traveling to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs suck. I'm going to take the Hawks to cover the 7. But a player prop I will give you, Colin Sexton, 24.5 points. There's nobody playing for Cleveland, so he's just going to go ball out. I would take the over, the 24.5 points for Sexton in today's game.
Okay, there we go. I'm looking at a team that just saw a coaching change this week. So the Minnesota Timberwolves have a new head coach, and it wasn't done well by them.
No.
They hired a new coach. It was like minutes after they fired
Saunders.
They had the guy already. Not great for the locker room. They are in Milwaukee tonight, and Milwaukee is a 10.5-point favorite. Minnesota's garbage, and you're causing issues with the locker room. I'm taking the Bucks to cover that big spread.
Okay, yeah, and the Bucks had a nice win the other day, so maybe they start heating back up the Milwaukee Bucks. They're a team I'm not touching. I know the Timberwolves are awful, but the Bucks are a team you can't touch.
The Timberwolves can be up like 20 in the fourth quarter, and they'll still lose by double digits.
I've gotten hurt a few times taking those Bucks games, though, so just something to pay attention to. An awful game to watch, the Detroit Pistons and the Orlando Magic, but the Magic, not terrible. Pistons, another team that are just, they're sitting players. They don't want to play anymore. I'll take the Orlando Magic to cover the 3.5. Also, the other reason why Pistons have been down in Florida the last couple days, because they've been doing the two games in a row schedule, like the Sixers are playing the Raptors today. Pistons down Orlando for a couple of days. I think the Magic went two straight against Detroit.
Okay, I'm going to take a look at the home team. I'm going to look Sixers and Raptors right now. Sixers are 2-point favorites. Good teams don't lose to teams that are worse than them back-to-back. They shouldn't. Mm-hmm. The Sixers have lost, I think it's 16 straight road regular season games against the Toronto Raptors.
They're gonna end
There's
tonight?
No way they get to 17, right? I'm taking the Sixers. I'm taking them giving the points. Giving two. Two doesn't do anything for me. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Sixers minus the 2 points. They get off the snide against the Raptors and win the go-away game down there.
Okay. A game that you really, really, really want to look at the over at. Kings-Nets, 242.5. You might say, holy bleep, that is a high score. They played each other on February 15th. The final score, Brooklyn 136, Kings 125. That hit the over that night when I told you to take the over. I'm sure they take it again today. James Harden had 29 in that last game. Kyrie Irving had 40 in that last game. Kings don't play defense. So look at the over in the game. Overs for Harden and Irving if you want to buy down a little bit for a few of them. But those are something to look at. And maybe it's a few of the overs for the Kings because the Nets, too, don't play defense. You got anything else for me today?
Well, I mean, I was going to touch the overs for both Harden and Kyrie. They're sitting right at 29.5 and 28.5, respectively. No Kevin Durant. They're going to break both of those. They're both going to go over 30.
Okay, yeah, they probably will. I mean, that's why Harden had 29. So maybe if you want to buy it down, his over-under is usually around the 30.5, 31.5 range. So if you want to buy down, if you're doing a parlay, buy down to like 27, maybe.
Yeah, we've seen what the Kings do. They're so fast-paced. Like, there's going to be an opportunity to put up crazy points in that game. It's got to come from those two.
Yeah. All right, so there are your picks, your daily number. Let's go back to the phones, and let's talk to Frank in Westchester. Frank, what's going on, man?
Welcome to the 1 p.m. hour of brevity, my man.
Hello,
Good
Uncle
show,
Frank.
Guys.
How are you?
Good show, my boys. I'll bust your chops another day, but here we go. So, I went to grade school, Andrew, with Jack Ramsey's son while he was coaching the Sixers.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, I was in the locker room. Well, anyway, Wilt had gone by the time I got. But he was so dominant, incredible athleticism. And I remember his son telling me later on that he was the strongest athlete he ever saw. He could palm a 16-pound bowling ball. And he did not play against stiffs, my misinformed tweeter. You know, Bill Russell, Nate Thurman.
Yeah.
Was a being.
Yeah, I know. That's one of those. The thing is, all right, well, they had day jobs other than the games. You hear it. You can make an argument either way, and it's probably wrong either way.
Now, that being said, from a trajectory perspective, I don't know. I can't say Joe will be Wilt. I can't say that right now, even though he's more diversified. But if he keeps his trajectory upwards for 6, 7, 8 years, he will surpass AI. And I would think Charles and Doc, it hurts me to say that. And by the way, Aaron, please, my man.
Oh, yeah, he went overrated on Doc.
Doc had the best bank shot in the league. Trust me. He's a great rebounder. He ran the break.
He had the best bank shot. Joel Embiid, you know, he's saying overrated also. You know, he was saying overrated all the time. But, I'll ask you, Frank, because, you know, I trust you. You're a man I trust. I asked the question earlier today. Is it crazy to think that one day Embiid can be considered a better Sixer than Julius Erving?
No.
Okay.
He could. He's got to do it for 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, I know. If you get elite Embiid for 3 more years, he still plays at a high level for 5 more years and then is still an all-star, you know, as the years go on. And they win. They have to win, right? That's the biggest thing.
They need a trophy.
Yeah. And he's got to be one of the reasons, the reason why they get it pretty much.
Absolutely. Doc had 2 MVP years in the
ABA, yeah.
And they were incredible athletes.
Right.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, it'll be interesting. I appreciate the call, man. I'm sure I'll be talking tomorrow. It's interesting because we're in real time with Embiid. And, you know, we're watching it right now. And I think a lot of people think, I mean, right now, he's better than Barkley and better than Irving and better than Iverson, better than Wilt. No. I'm just asking the question, could he one day be better? Do I think he's better than Iverson right now? No. Do I think it's a possibility that he could surpass Iverson in terms of our greatness stature for the Philadelphia 76ers? If he continues to play like this, yes, I do. And if he wins a ring or 2 rings and an MVP, I mean, the stuff that he does, you can always make the case, oh, look at the things that Iverson did at 6 foot. You're right. I'm with you. Iverson was my favorite player growing up. You'd be dumb if he wasn't your favorite player. You were a Sixers fan. He's still my favorite all-time Sixer. I had the posters of Iverson growing up. I had the photo. I had everything Iverson growing up, except the shoes. My mom got me AIs once, Connor. They were Andre Iguodala's.
Oh, come on.
I was not a shoe.
Can't be getting the Iggy sneakers.
No, I was not a shoe family. I always got the clearance rack shoes.
Okay, so she
I never had the Iverson shoes. I had another AI, and it was Andre Iguodala.
Did she get you the Iguodala thinking they were Iverson? She saw
no,
the AI?
No. So it was just clearance rack. Andrew, you get to pick. And I was like, oh, the strap's kind of cool. So I got the Iguodala's.
There you go.
Yeah.
Strap was a cool thing when it first came out.
Yeah, so that was, thanks. Yeah. But listen, whatever. I wear cheap shoes. I'm all about it. Here's one thing I have to ask you. And I brought this up earlier because I just don't understand people aren't reading. So I'll use Frank as the example, not the caller Frank just now, Frank Mazzio on Twitter. And Frank, I'm not picking on you because trust me, buddy, you're not the only person that has done this today. But I very clearly stated twice in this tweet, A, that I'm 27 years old, and B, greatest player you've ever seen. So if you do the math, 27 years ago, I was not watching Wilt Chamberlain. But Frank responds with, Wilt? ? I wasn't around for Wilt, and I made that clear in the tweet. But he's not alone. Is it like a, what is it? Is it a, I need to be quick to drip someone? Or is it just straight up just not paying attention?
It's got to be the not paying attention.
Okay.
They're getting the gist of the tweet, but they're not reading it word for word, which is an issue.
I read the one earlier from Andy. Seriously? What about Wilt, Doc Moses, and Hal Greer?
What about me being born in the early 1993.
That's laughable, Doc. It's multiple.
Dude, you were born in the 90s? That's laughable.
Sorry, my bad. But
hey, what do you want to do?
Like, that's an honest question that maybe we'll touch on tomorrow. Is it because people just want to rip? Like, social media is a cesspool, right? Like, we already know that. Like, Twitter's not a nice place. Very few times have you seen nice reactions on Twitter, interactions. So is it quick to rip? And I don't care. Hey, say what you want. Call me an idiot as far as I care. But I just don't get it when I clearly say I'm 27 and it's best I've ever seen. And don't give me YouTube clips. I'm talking live. Maybe I have to specify even more. I just don't get it. Maybe it is just laziness on their part for not reading it. I don't know. I know people were busy. They got 10 things. People were working. Probably just on their lunch break, scroll through Twitter. Oh, I got to rip this guy.
See, I think laziness is the pie in the sky decision there. Like, I think that's the choice of optimism. The reality might be closer to what you're saying, where people just, something about being on social media, they just love to rip people.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's see. I'm going to give you one more pick that my man Mike Scanlon tweeted in. Now, let me just,
what do we got?
Let me just check the odds, because I need to find, I mean, if you're just trying to look for lock picks out there. Player props, New York Knicks, Julius Randle. He's telling me to take the over 1.5 threes. Minus 170. If you want to parlay that with something. Julius Randle is averaging, I don't know how many threes a game, but he hit 2 the other night, 3 the night before, 7 the night before that.
He's having a good year. He's going to be an all-star pick.
He is going to be an all-star. Good for Julius Randle. All right, so there you go. Mike Scanlon's pick. He likes to send him the props. I believe in the Scanlon props. Let's go to Ramsey in South Philly. Ramsey, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, Ramsey. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, so real quick. You and I aren't too dissimilar in age. I'm 32, you're 27, so we have a very, you know, close proximity in age of things that we've seen.
Yes.
And eye test only, I feel that Embiid could possibly be the best Sixer that there ever was.
From the guys you've seen, which is, you know, Iverson and I'm sure some of Barkley.
Some of Barkley, Iverson, yeah. From the guys I've personally seen, yeah, I think he could personally be. And even still, even if I am still going to do that whole YouTube clip thing, and I know you're not going to take this argument, so I'm not putting this argument for you to take.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take this argument on my own, and I will gladly be the person that people can yell at as a stupid caller later for this. But I will say this. Wilt Chamberlain was amazing, always will be, a legendary, unstoppable force of the NBA of the past era, and that is a fact. Anyone who debates that, I am sorry to call you a moron, but you are.
Right.
But, and here's where I'm probably going to be the one that's a little controversial.
Okay.
But, with that all being stated, Embiid overall, in my opinion, has a better game than Wilt does, and so far that's where I think he will be better than Wilt in. Wilt will forever be remembered for his domineering play, his dominating play forever and always. He was the only player in NBA history to score 100 points in a game.
Yep.
Great. If we're basing his greatness off of that, he'll never be touched. But, and I feel that's what a lot of people base his greatness on. And that's a cool thing to hang your hat on, but at the end of the day, can you break down a defender and give me that Euro step that I need to be able to get into the lane? Can you draw 15 fouls a game and perform at a 13 for 15 shooting at the free throw line? Can you shoot a three?
Yeah, you're saying everything else that Joel Embiid can do, like stepping out, hitting the three, and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So as much as I love Embiid, as much as I love Wilt, think Wilt's a legend, think Wilt can always be great, but I got to give it to Embiid. Embiid, I think Embiid can be the greatest Sixer, period. If he continues down this path that he is.
Yeah, the thing is, Rams, yeah, and I appreciate the call, man. That's when the generation thing. So he said he'll say the controversial thing. I'll be real. You probably would have been, your ass would have been benched if you were 7 foot in 1962 taking a three-pointer. Right? Like, yeah. They're saying sit down. Right? Like, big men weren't shooting in 1962, 1970, rarely in 1980. Started seeing some more in 1990 with like the European bigs that were coming in, the cores of the world.
Guards weren't like the mid-range early 2000s.
So I can't allow Ramsey to go, well, Embiid has a deeper game because he can shoot the three. Well, there wasn't a three-point line in 1962. So, I mean, let's just be real. Now, I'm going to, oh my God, I just looked up the box score for the 100-point game. How many field goal attempts do you think Wilt Chamberlain took that game?
He had to have shot a lot of free throws.
That's question number two.
you know, with like, I don't know, 42?
63.
Jesus.
I'm not taking anything away from the game, but I'll just look at the box score. It's crazy. And then he had 32 free throw attempts. How many do you think he made? Traditionally bad free throw shooter.
To get to 100, he would have had to be in like the mid-20s, like 24.
28. He had a good day. Good day from the free throw line there, old Wilt. Now, Guy Rogers had the easiest job in the world. He had 20 assists that game. He's just giving it to Wilt.
Well, yeah. Do you have the total assists for the team outside of Wilt?
37. 37 assists that game.
I mean,
he had 36 field goals. So somebody else benefited.
There you go. Got one more.
Guy Rogers, my man had 20 assists. He had the easiest job in the world.
Who's once, Wilt gets to 80 in like the third quarter, who else is shooting? Who's the guy that's like, ah, I'm feeling hot?
Yeah, that's a good...
Like, come on,
man. My man Tom Meschery went 7 of 12. So that was a big, big part of the game.
Come on, Tommy. Wilt could have had 115.
Oh, no, sorry. Paul Arizin had 18 field goal attempts. He took it away from Wilt.
Wow. Come on, that's selfish.
That's a violation. Wilt played all 48 minutes that game. Let's go to KM. Karate Mark, what's going on, man?
Andrew Connor, what's up, brothers? How are you? Yo, I know I only got 2 minutes. I could talk JoJo for hours.
Oh, I know you can.
I'm going to try to squeeze this in the best I can. Me personally, I don't watch a minute of college basketball. So anything I know about a college player or a prospect coming out is what I hear from you guys.
Okay.
Let me take it back a couple years. I hear the local people start talking about this kid, Joel Embiid, and they compare him to my favorite basketball player of all time, Hakeem Olajuwon. My first reaction is, stop it. Don't dare.
Disrespect my man, Hakeem the Dream.
And then I hear national people talking about it. And now I got this gut feeling in my stomach. Oh, my God. The Knicks are going to get the next Hakeem Olajuwon. And I'm going to watch them win title after title. And I literally felt sick one day thinking about it. And then we get him. And now let's evolve into who this player has become. He's in under 10 years of touching a basketball. He is one of the most dominant scorers in the NBA. He's one of the most dominant rebounders, blockers. He can assist very well. He can shoot from anywhere on the court. And it's to the point, I know I'm speaking for everyone in the city, from the free throw line and from 15 feet and under, we're expecting 100%. Without a doubt. And the guy's got one flaw. Sometimes he tries to dribble between three defenders and he winds up turning the ball over.
But this year, as a lot of people pointed out, Doc Rivers himself, he's passed out double team at a much better percentage this year than years past.
Which leads me to my last point. He's matured. Yep. Like, he's taken leaps and bounds in maturity this year. So, as far as potential, where is he in Philly? I'm just going to go ahead and skip that. I think he has the potential of being one of the greatest NBA players in history. Is he right now? No. Is he the best player in the NBA today? It's arguably, maybe, top three.
Well, it could be this year if he wins the MVP.
When all said and done, he's got the potential of being one of the greatest the game has ever seen, and I'll put my fandom hood on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be tough, man. I appreciate the call. I love talking to Kay. It's going to be tough. I mean, you're going to have to do that for a very, very long time. And who knows if Embiid's body can hold up at a prime level past 5 years.
Right. And we had the caller earlier, M, who was a great call by him. But he talked something about Joel Embiid being the best player of this era. And I don't know that he's going to be around long enough to have an era.
Right. What is the Joel Embiid era? We'll find out.
Right.
Hopefully it's a long time.
So that's the biggest question with him, is the length of the career. But, I mean, some of the stuff Mark was saying there is right on. Like, he could be the best player in the NBA right now, and if he sustains that, and he's only shown us he's getting better.
Yeah, he's only getting better. And he's mentioned it ever since the birth of his child. The maturity level has gone up.
He's got
up.
The dad strength.
Yeah, dad strength, dad maturity, dad brain, all that kind of stuff. So that's good. You know, we'll find out. And if you're just tuning in, the reason why this conversation even started was I got up this morning and I was ready to come in here and complain about Howie Roseman and all that kind of stuff. And I'm driving in, I get here, and I wanted to get here before the Shaquille O'Neal interview. And I wanted to listen to it in my car. I didn't want any distractions coming into the studio, Connor waddling on over here, talking to me and all that kind of stuff. I just wanted to sit in my car and listen to Shaq.
And right off the bat, Shaq, after talking about eating cookies at like 5 in the morning, started talking about Embiid. And, you know, he's probably joking when he says it, but he said that 50-point game brought a tear to his eye, right? But he basically said how Joel Embiid is playing like the guy he expected him to. He's playing at an elite level, scoring 28-plus a game, grabbing 12 rebounds a game. And hopefully we continue to see that tonight when they play the Raptors at 7:30. And it made me think, okay, well, if Shaquille O'Neal, the probably one of the most dominant big men of all time, right? He's in the all-time conversation. I know people, oh, he's a one-trick pony. No, come on. Probably the most dominant big man of all time for what he did. If he's saying this stuff about Embiid, it made me think, all right, well, where does Embiid rank Philly athletes, my generation, the 27 years, the people born since 1993, and others, right? And where does it rank for the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds? My man M from Northeast, who called in earlier, 70 years old. He said Embiid could be the greatest Sixer of all time, and he talked about Wilt Chamberlain as well, and he saw Wilt Chamberlain play. So it made me think about that, and you know, there's people that are in the older generations that got angry, and how dare you, you're too young, but admittedly, only saw Iverson and Embiid, 27. So I wanted to be educated a little bit today, but I do find it crazy how disrespectful some people are of Embiid, who's currently on this team now that we love, that could has the best chance of winning something. The Sixers have the best chance of winning something out of any other team in Philadelphia right now. This is a guy that we should get behind, and that's why I just wanted to love on Embiid today. Connor Thomas produced the show today. Thanks a lot, man. Dan Fritz helping out. Tom helping out as well. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.